Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Community Impact Board meeting, December 13th. We're happy to have you here, and luckily we got weather cooperating with us. It's a nice sunny day for once. No haze or smog in the atmosphere. So grateful to have you. We will begin with our staff briefing, so I'll turn it over to Candace for these first couple agenda items.
This is the second review meeting of the second trimester of fiscal year 2019. I know it says 2018 on your calendar, but it's fiscal year 2019. On page 1-1-1, but it's also the financial sheet that's in your board packet, you'll see that there are 10 projects listed today that are new to be discussed, and one special consideration request for the purchase of a facility. The board member discussion concerns the response received from Eric Johnson and the coalition concerning the questions raised by Zions Public Finance, which is the board's consultant, and this is concerning the rail application and study. The second item on the agenda is the policy retreat locations in 2019, so be thinking. Please note, you probably all remember because you did respond to my email, that January 11th is the next meeting date, and it is a Friday. It is not a Thursday. On the listing of the financials, you'll see that the bonus fund continues to grow. That's where you can take out loan money at interest. The current interest rate is 2.5%. There is money to lend for good projects. It must be noted that loans can also be taken out of the mineral lease account. Those, you don't have to give all grants from then there, and you have been. That loan, that fund is supposed to be revolving, and without some loan repayments, it may not be so. The interest rate for the mineral lease fund, where you're taking all the grants out of, can be zero or, anything you want. So it can be 0.5. If the board funds all the applications listed today as they're requested, you'll notice that yellow box to the far right on your screen, is a little compromised. So there is a negative balance. Before the funding meeting, which is in February, there will be additional funds that come into this pot of money. However, we still have to make the transportation UDOT whole from the trade that we did for their We traded them road money for some unstatutorily limited money. So keep that in mind at today's meeting, and thank you.
Hey, any questions for Candace? Financial review?
Sign in. Make sure they sign in.
Oh, be sure to sign in, especially those in the audience as you walk in or out of the room. If you haven't done so already, there's a sign-up sheet back there. Okay, seeing no questions, we'll go to the introductions for the board and staff. So we'll start with Gail over on this corner.
I'm Gail Gardner with Housing and Community Development.
Tudor Ogden, Sevier County Commissioner, representing the ALG.
Good morning. Steve Farrell, representing the Board of Water Resources.
I'm Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
Candace Powers, Housing and Community Development Fund Manager for the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board.
Good morning. Keith Heaton with the Community Development Office.
And Jonathan Hardy, Chairman of the Board.
Allison Gardner with the Office of the Attorney General. Street, admin assistant.
Good morning, Nagi Zinadi from sunny and warm St. George, and glad to be back. Representing UDOT Commission, sorry.
Jack Lytle, Daggett County Commissioner, representing Yuna Basin Association of Governments.
Good morning, everybody. Greg Galecki, representing Water Quality Board.
Good morning. Ron Winterton, Duchesne County Commissioner, representing Duchesne County.
Excellent. First item on our agenda is the minutes of November 8th. This was like a record length meeting, so I applaud everybody who's thoroughly reviewed these minutes. Lengthy discussion and packet, but would be ready to entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Approved. I'll make that motion.
Okay, a motion by Commissioner Ogden.
I'll second.
And a second from Commissioner Lytle. Any further discussion to that motion?
I just want to make a comment. As reviewing these minutes and going through there, I still had some concerns about some of the things that was going on there the minutes look good, but there's still a lot of unanswered questions.
Okay. And I'm sure there'll be future discussion on a lot of these questions. So, see no further comment. All in favor of the approval of the minutes, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Mr. Chairman, I abstain because of my...
Okay, an abstention from Mr. Zanotti, who was not present at the meeting, so he did not have to endure the set. I don't know if it was 6 or 7 hours of discussion. It was a long one.
I'd like to make a quick comment. Thank you for the diligence that was applied to each of the projects during that meeting. It took a long time, but it all pays the same.
Right. Thank you. And thank you all of you who did, spend a lot of time reviewing that stuff. The minutes are approved. We will had a request. Maybe we'll start doing geographic prioritization on these requests and when they're considered. But we've got item number 6 is a special consideration for San Juan County Mental Health due to the fact that it's very geographically far away. I've been requested to move this up, but this requires us to take a vote on this particular project to put it for consideration on this agenda.
I'd make that motion that we move them to the first agenda item.
Okay. Commissioner Winterton makes the motion for special consideration and seconded by Steve Farrell. Further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That item is before us.
Jonathan?
Yes.
Just a little clarification. I don't think you explained it exactly right. It is 5.5 hours from Monticello to Salt Lake, but you ask any state employee, it's 10 or 15 hours from Salt Lake to San Juan County. So much further when you're traveling from here down to there.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for that clarification. So. We'll invite San Juan County Mental Health to the table this time. I'm going to turn the time over to Candace for a brief staff briefing on this project, and then we'll hear from our applicant.
Item number 6 is a special consideration. It did receive a vote of the board. It's for a mental health building purchase. The request is for $350,000, 30-year, 2.5% loan. San Juan Mental Health Substance Abuse Special Service District is requesting funds in the form of a loan to purchase an existing home located close to a current outpatient facility. The home is for sale. It's less than a half a block from the outpatient facility. The home was built in 2008 and features an open floor plan, which they can accommodate for their uses. One bathroom would need to be a little bit of remodeling. It needs to be ADA accessible. The garage of the house would need to be converted into a large room to accommodate groups. The current home that they're using is kind of far away. I guess it's in an inconvenient location. It is located a mile away from the outpatient facility, which make coordinating efforts difficult. Along with the close proximity to the health department of this new facility and medical facilities, this would be a better fit. The reason for requesting CIB funds, the San Juan Mental Health Substance Abuse Special Service District would like to purchase this home, and it is my understanding that it needs to be acted upon quickly. So this would also be requesting a suspended fund.
Great, thank you. Do you want to introduce yourselves for the record and add anything you want to that description?
Thank you very much. My name is Lynn Stevens. I'm the chairman of the Board of Governance of the San Juan Mental Health District.
I'm Tammy Squires. I'm the executive director of San Juan Mental Health.
We'd like very much to express appreciation for you even giving this the consideration today. The timing is such that it was urgent. The home was occupied by an FBI agent who had been moved. The FBI took ownership of the home and put it on the market, and it's ideally located for our uses, and we'd like to get ahead of the buyers and be able to purchase it. Yeah, I understand how important it is to this board to follow protocol, and putting us on as a special consideration is greatly appreciated. So I think the summary was pretty much complete. The building is maybe a three-minute walk from our regular operating location in a big clinic building owned by the county. Be happy to request or any questions. We're requesting only loan and available for comments or questions.
Okay, we like that. We like people asking only for loan money. Do you have the house under contract yet?
No, because we don't have the assurance of the funding. We can put it under contract tomorrow.
Okay. Further questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Do you foresee any challenges from the residents because this being a residential area that you're changing it to commercial or other zone change?
No, we've had consultation with the residents as well as the city, and there's no zoning problem. The prior owner of the home operated a dance studio as well, and our use of the building will be primarily only from about 8 to 5 every day, no overnight of any kind. It'll actually be quieter there than it has been in the past because of the dance studio and other activities.
So if you convert the garage to the living space, are you going to have a problem with the street parking?
No. There's plenty of parking. We'll convert the garage, but it actually will not be living. There will be no overnight residents in the building. It's all a daytime, a day treatment center is what it's called.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Winterton.
For me, this is not a hard sell. I'd like to make a motion that we suspend and fund this project since it's all loan.
I'll second.
Okay, so the motion by Commissioner Winterton and seconded by Mr. Galecki is to approve a $350,000 30-year loan at 2.5% suspend and fund. Further discussion of that motion? Mr. Adams.
I just want the board to know, prior to this request, we built a building with CIB funds that houses mental health, public health, and a clinic for the San Juan Health District. And I wish Tammy would take about 2 or 3 minutes and just tell you what an absolute fantastic facility that has turned out to be. Tammy, would you just express to them your feelings about that new bill?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yes, I really appreciate the support that CIB has been to San Juan County and to us. The building was built through San Juan County Local Building Authority, and it houses us, it houses public health, and it houses a physical health clinic. One of the big pushes with treating people is you want to treat the whole body. You need to treat them behaviorally, but you also need to help with their physical components that are happening. We are located close to all medical facilities in the community there, and with the clinic right in the same building as we are, there's been great amounts to cooperate and to get people the treatment they need on both sides. Public health also provides a lot of services, especially the low-income individuals, that really helps treat the whole body. It's been a really good facility for us. We've been able to add more group rooms, which has made it to where we can provide more groups, which is better outcomes. We have a play therapy room because of this new building. Just more state-of-the-art, and it's been a really good thing for the counseling center and for the community.
I think that really that this could be a model for even other counties to consider locating like services in one building that services a lot of the needs for the community. We have a high poverty rate in San Juan County, and so really because of that high poverty rate and other things that are going on in the county, the need for mental health for county commissioners is higher than normal. and we really appreciate Tammy's leadership and Lynn's leadership with our mental health people. And I just want to thank the board for what they've done for the citizens in San Juan County and especially approving that prior request.
Other comments, questions, discussion to this motion? Yes, Mr. Glucky.
Just a quick comment. I know that dealing with mental health, it can be a challenge at times, and I appreciate your efforts and the work that you do.
Thank you.
Okay, seeing no further comment, the question before us is to approve a $350,000 30-year loan, 2.5% suspended fund. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, we'll move on to our slate of new projects. First up on that list is the Uinta Transportation Special Service District. We'd invite them to the table at this time, and we'll turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Project number one of the new projects for discussion today is Uinta Transportation Special Service District Road Reconstruction. It's the Ouray Bottoms Road Corridor. The request is for $4,531,000 all grant. This project consists of raising the entire Ouray Bottom Road Corridor 3 feet between the Green River Bridge and the White River Bridge. Ouray Bottom Road is part of Seep Ridge Road, I believe. It continues down. It's a collector road that provides critical access to oil and gas fields in southern Uinta County. The road needs to be raised during high water. The bottom floods and the road is closed until the waters recede. In January 2018, Uinta County applied for funding from the Joint Highway Committee Off-System Bridge Fund to replace the White River Bridge on the southern end of the Ouray Bottom Road project. They were awarded $2.1 million for the bridge replacement contingent upon load testing of the structure. Also with this road, the shoulders will be widened, so it will be raised and the shoulders will be widened. In their minutes, it said that in addition, the 7-County Infrastructure Coalition has secured funding from the state to finish the EIS for the Book Cliffs Connection project. So how does this project connect to the White River Bridge? UDOT funding was indicated, and the completion date was indicated to be 2022. It also said in the minutes they have it as a 50-50 but hope for 100% grant. Well, it wasn't submitted as a 50-50. It is a 100% grant. 50% of this would be, if it was the half grant, half loan, would be $2,266,000.
Great. Looks like we got a cadre of people here to discuss this project. If you want to introduce yourselves for us.
Thank you. I'm Commissioner Brad Horrocks there from Uinta County. In my second term, I'm a little new with a lot of this stuff, but I know a lot of you, and I appreciate the time and the effort you guys stick in out here. It's kind of amazing when you come from the world I did and you get into this world and realize there's a lot of work that goes on beside what you really know goes on. But in saying that, I appreciate you guys' time and effort. I want to introduce Mike and Brian with Jones and DeMille and Brian Myers with our road department. We're here to entertain the questions you guys have about this. Our economy out there, the oil and gas industry has been down, to say the least. Mineral revenues, lease revenues, really, down. We're experiencing some, some slowdowns out there that's pretty, pretty rough, but things are turning around a little better. Things are optimistic. We're trying to diversify our economy out there a little bit with tourism and some different things that we're working on to try to help us get through these things. This floods and this road is shut down. The oil and gas industry takes 92 miles to go around. This is shut down. There's about 3,000 active wells out there. The oil and gas companies are not real. They don't have any extra money at this time to try to help us with this project. The ones that I talked to, they're asking. They're in the same boat everybody is in our, out there in the basin. It's oil and gas related, and it's a little rough for us to try to, to come up with money to fund this and pay the payments on it. It's a good project. It's a needed project. We went to the Joint Highway Committee, which these guys can tell you a little bit more about that. We've got the money there, and we've got some matches that we have to do there. And so, anyway, with that, I turn the time over to these guys and thank these guys for the effort that they've stuck in on this work and project for us, and thank all of you guys.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner.
My name is Brian Meyer again. I'm with Uinta County Road Department. I've been with the county for about 18 years. It is pretty detrimental when this road is closed because water's going over the top of it, or even getting close to it. You can see in this picture, this first picture of, this is an aerial photo they actually captured when it was flooding, just as it was starting to recede. So you can actually see where...
in this exhibit right here.
In this exhibit on the side.
The flooding. It's in your packet. It's a little bit hard to see in that packet. Mm-hmm. Probably the second page. Or no, the first page right on top.
Anyway, we've gone to, again, it was mentioned, to the Federal Joint Highway Committee, and we have received the funding for that bridge. It is a total project is 2.27. That will go out to bid in July of next year, and we hope to have it completed by December of next year. That's the tentative plan, and that's the timeline that's been set forth on that bridge. So that's good. We're kind of anticipating this whole corridor right through here to have some big improvements. So
I'll just add a little bit to that. I know that in the update it said 2022 or 2023, but that it is a 2019 project, that bridge project that's being contemplated. So, or it's been funded. There's an engineer on board moving forward with the design and construction as per what Brian has said. But in your packets, you've got this exhibit here as well as that one later in the back. You've got some pictures of the flooding when it's crossed that road. This is part of the Seabridge Road corridor that extends down to the Grand County line, and there's currently an EIS going on to extend it down to I-70. As Brian mentioned, when this floods, it's a 92-mile detour to go around the project and access the wells down on the other side of this bridge. And if you go to page 4, that's this exhibit over here. You can kind of see it on the maps, but this exhibit shows it a little better. It shows the detour, and it shows all those black dots are where wells are at. They're actually clusters of wells at this scale. But you can see what kind of a pincushion it is down here. The project is right here, where it crosses the Green River, and then it crosses the White River, and then comes back up into the oil field. It's the primary access for this area down in here. We pulled a recent number is almost 3,000 currently today, 3,000 active producing oil and natural gas wells that would be accessed across this road and down into this area. So that's the number today, 2,800 and thereabouts. 2,846. So that's obviously a substantial amount of
street that accesses that area. I think the other exhibit on there, yeah, that's just a typical section showing what we propose to do. There would also be substantial culverts placed underneath the road to allow water to flow back and forth. That's part of the problem, is it's not necessarily the whole Green River going over the road, but it's backing up on both sides. You can kind of see in the photo. So it allows it to go back and forth. The last sheet is just for your information only. The last sheet, this is a study that was done in 2017 by HDR, and it the reason it's in here is it shows the economic importance of that area of the state. Oil production in the Uinta Basin, you can see the total revenues in the table. For the federal government, $27.09 million. State of Utah, $35.01 million. Duchesne County, this is in severance tax and property tax and all the, you know, and mineral lease and all the above. $17.9 million. Uinta County, $23.6 million. And this is based on 81,000 barrel a day production and a little under $50 a barrel. Is what it is, and it does not take into account any natural gas and the impact of that to this, which is a lot of that area as well. So with that, that's what I've got. So.
Okay. We'll go to the board for questions. Mr. Galecki, he gave me a smile, so
surprise.
I think he wants to ask a question.
I'm glad he had that photo up there. Just for my understanding, so you have the road in red. It appears, though, where you have the darker areas, that probably represents the high water mark. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can see it in this exhibit. When that floods, it essentially floods throughout that entire area. So you can kind of see all this. The White River is usually running high at the same time the Green River is when it's a good winter. Hopefully we have one this year. And this whole area becomes
So it floods from the east and not from the west?
Yes.
Well, it
floods everywhere.
It subs, but the low point, it subs up too. So
I guess just my understanding, does the whole road need the whole road floods that entire section?
Most of it.
Yeah, and there's photos of it.
Yeah. I see photos.
And those photos are prior to the road being closed. Actually, they had to close it after that.
Yeah, I believe that picture. Well, I took those pictures. Actually, I drove across it while I believe it was closed. It was either this day or the next day that actually they decided that there was probably too much water going across to allow trucks through. In fact, you can tell you can't even see the edge of the road in some of those pictures. So,
yep. Just one more comment. You know, they come out about a year ago and said this bridge, we didn't have the statistics on this bridge and was worried about the rating and was going to shut the bridge down. And so we, in redoing this bridge, we're going to have to redo the approaches. And, you know, and that's going to be quite a little bit of the expense. We just, would like to tie it in with this road as we're doing it because we're, you know, with this new bridge will help.
And one other item on that, Brad, and I forgot to mention it, and I think it was on my plate to mention, so I apologize. But the road, the bridge project and the road project are all part of the same solution to fix this corridor. The White River Bridge needs to be raised as well when it's replaced. And that's $2.2 million that the county has gone out and got and then has the match for it that they're bringing to the table. Well, it's not on the CIB application, but it is part of the solution to this corridor and is what the skin in the game that the county's bringing to the project as well.
Commissioner Lytle.
What at what CFS does it start making pictures like that? What's the flow, either at Jensen, and then how frequently has it occurred? How many times has it been flooded over?
I don't know that we have an answer on the CFS, but we can.
Yeah. So flooded over and right to the top are kind of two different things.
I asked, when it floods over, what are the CFS? And yeah, I'm not being critical.
Sure.
But in terms of the justification, the other part of it is with the bridge, obviously you got to build it up to meet the bridges thing, and that secondary, what Brad was saying, is hugely important to have that up and then have it not be a dike, which is what it's not a dike now, but it can't handle the flows
right.
The way, well, It's in the bottom of the floodplain.
Right.
So
it needs to be,
to get it up to where it'll, but also be able to pass the water.
And I can answer some of the CFS question. I know there is data exactly of what CFS is in Jensen and other, you know, parts along the river when this floods. As part of the design, hydraulic analysis of that whole area is a big part of that design work.
Okay.
And on this particular project, and that would all be correlated to.
I think you forgot one other river that creates part of that is once the Duchesne comes in.
Yes.
With the UN, or is it called the Uinta by then? I don't.
White River.
Well, the White River.
No, the White and the Green. You've got the Duchesne coming in at the same time.
Up above. Yeah,
it's a triple threat.
It's a triple threat in that area, as you can see.
I guess that it's the same question as that. So is it a 10-year event that it starts to overflow? Is it a 2-year event hydrologically?
It started, last time was in 2011, the winter of 2011-2012, right? And it's been close other times.
Right.
May I please join the conversation?
Yes.
I've been out of order most of the time.
No, you're still in order. You were the last called upon, so.
2017, if the Yampa would have had the snowfall that the Green River had, it would have overflowed it. And that's the point being, with the bridge being built, I support doing the work that needs to be done as far as getting that roadway up to where it can be traveled all the time. The other odd mix in it, because of my involvement on the upper end of the river, is the dam operations and how things work with that native fish dam operations, EIS, that occurs. Flaming Gorge Dam. I'm not swearing.
He's not
if
swearing.
I'd have said dam, then it might have been an issue. But I'm speaking as the noun. There's a lot of things that will always be an issue on that road because of all of the intricacies of that NEPA document and the operation of the dam. I'd make a motion at this point to support and fully fund. Are you asking for it to be funded?
Not suspend and fund, but
they can wait till.
At this point, if it's going to flood, we wouldn't have the construction done before flood season anyway at this point, so it won't.
Life as usual.
Right.
I have a question.
So I didn't get it. Was there a motion on the table?
Motion.
To approve
if,
the.
If you're accepting motions while I'm
in. Let's continue a few questions because I think
everybody would probably. I might have preempted some other questions.
Right.
I apologize.
Okay. Commissioner Adams.
See if I can describe this without having the school teacher in me come out and walk up to the board and point. There's up where the bridge is, there's a dark line going across. I assume that's a road.
Yes.
And then down here towards the bottom where the kind of purple line is, I see another drainage. Is that drainage got a bridge on it? Is that a free-flowing stream or is it just a
talking about this right?
Yes.
That is the White River.
That's White River, so there's a bridge across it already?
There's a bridge across it, and that's the one that's being replaced and upgraded and raised.
And it's unimpounded, correct?
Okay, and the...
There's no impoundments on the White River. It's uncontrolled.
Yes, it's uncontrolled.
And so is there another bridge across up where the... Yes. There's two bridges involved here.
Yes, the Green River Bridge is higher. In elevation, it's not contemplated.
And you're not replacing the Green River Bridge, just the White River Bridge. Is there, it looks to me like, and I'm looking at with my laser eyes, which are about 20/80, this is all a low spot that we're going to build the road across, maybe a bog type area. And I'm sure you've looked at this. I'm just trying to understand it. There's no way to come across that road and go to the Black Road and access what you need. Is that the 90 miles that you go around?
No, that road actually is closed at the same time. When this road floods, that road floods as well.
Oh, it floods also. Mm. It's not any higher than...
No, it's
okay,
not.
Okay.
There's well locations that are actually...
Underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to go around that bog area on the other side of the river and make a road. Does it get flooded also on the?
I see what you're saying. So you're saying build, just reroute around this.
Yeah,
this area.
I'm just wondering if there.
And that's a good point. It's something we looked at. It obviously would take a new structure, but we're building that structure there, so that you know that's part of it. But it would increase the mileage. We would have to raise the Chipeta Grove Road. That's the one you're seeing there as well. And in addition, this road across here is built already. In fact, I would say there's probably about 10 feet of lift, of fill across that bog already. So there's already structure there that we're planning to build on top of.
So you've got a dike across there already, but you need to raise the dike.
And like I said, the whole thing kind of floods. It backs up on both sides and is everywhere out through there. So we need
a commitment from Brad to put his finger in the dike if there's a hole left.
We can handle that, Brian.
Okay.
Mr. Zanotti.
Commissioner, who and what gave the idea to come before the commission, change application from 50-50 to 100% grant? Was a last-minute decision?
No, we come with our full intent was to just ask for, 100% grant because of our financial struggles we're having out there. But in the bottom of it, if I understand in the application, we said, well, if we got to have this road. We have to have it, and we will entertain. We know what you guys' thoughts are with your money and stuff or however, but we're just struggling out there.
And you heard Candace saying that we don't have money either. There's a shortfall already, and there was a red box there, if you noticed. And the chastisement is that we need to make sure we're very frugal with other projects. There's another 10 projects right after you, and several others also. So it's in the Christmas spirit. I think you should take 50-50 rather than the whole thing. That's my opinion, humble opinion.
Is that a motion?
It is a motion.
I'll second it.
What are the terms on the loan?
Two and a half.
2.5%, and this would be.
If it pledges BNC road funds, it has to be
10 years, yeah.
But whatever your revenue source is to pledge, and I don't know what that would be, even go 20 years. A 20 year payment would be $140,000 on 50-50.
Yeah. It's the mineral lease money that we receive,
So you can go 15 years.
Transportation district, yeah. And is there an option to have it at 0% interest?
It's an option, but it doesn't help us
a lot.
But
we need to get that revolving money back in this system so you can have another project coming in next year, the year after.
My intent, and hasn't been, since I've been commissioner, I think we've got enough loans in Uinta County.
Yeah.
And if this wasn't to the extent of and importance it is, we would not be here today, and it's not our, my near future, seeing where we plan on to, because we're trying to recuperate and take care of what we've already got, and I think we've been really on top of it with our loans, is what you guys are doing and stuff there. But if this wasn't what it was, we wouldn't be here today. We've got plenty of mortgages.
Well, we have had similar projects like yours that have come before, and they either get the half and half or then maybe three-quarter, but I think it's a fair deal for all of us to make sure that we have other projects in the state taken care of, because you're going to have the next-door neighbor coming next month saying the same thing, that Seabridge Road or the White River or the other bridges needs to be repaired in order connectivity for the state.
So, Mr. Zanotti, I think, so you said 2.5%, and the term you're suggesting in your motion is 15 years.
15 years,
okay.
Yeah.
So that is a fifth. Let me just address this motion real quick. So that's a 50-50, $2,266,000 loan, and the $2,265,000 grant. Is that correct?
We just... rounding up to thousands, is that why we're doing that?
Yes.
Okay. And that would be, at the loan would be 2.5%, 15 years. That's the motion on the table.
Yes.
Seconded by Mr. Galecki. Greg?
Yes.
Yes, okay. All right. Further discussion. Commissioner Adams.
What class is this road? Is this a state road or a county road or a BLM road or a park road?
This is a county road.
It changes
right there at the Green River. It changes to a county road. To the Green River, it's a state road. Changes to a county road right there.
Is that Green River Bridge?
I assumed it was a state road and that Naughty was putting a lot of money in it from the state. So.
No. I wish that was the case.
He's waiting for them to do it.
We did money for the bridge, part of the bridge that he mentioned, $2.5 million.
That money came out of joint highway type.
Yeah, we did
situation.
That.
Situation. Okay.
One. If there's any questions, I'll wait. But I have one comment.
Green River Bridge is a state bridge or a county bridge?
That's a county bridge. The Green River Bridge is a state bridge.
Yeah, that's where we use the money.
It changes right there at the other side.
The White River Bridge is a county bridge, is where the money came from for the Joint Highway Committee, which is a county bridge.
Let's go to Allison.
Have you communicated with the Ute tribe about this project, and if so, what is the tribe's response?
Let me answer that. So we haven't communicated directly with the Ute tribe. We have had the SHPO letter in consultation, but we do have, in this area, the county has a 200-foot wide right-of-way, recorded right-of-way through this entire section. So we don't anticipate going beyond that. We'll stay within that right-of-way.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
Just go on.
Commissioner Lytle.
More of a comment. I think they made the point, but I think to strongly induce it or to back it up, this is the focal point of everything that the oil and gas, probably two-thirds is my guess, of those colored lines that come across that bridge in terms of all the service industry and drilling ends of it. If I'm wondering whether or not there'd be support to go three-quarter, one-quarter, three-quarter grant, one-quarter loan to ease UNA County's needs in recognizing that a lot of our funding is supported through that bridge. And whether there's a taste for that or not before I make the motion.
Before you make the motion?
Induce a little discussion, and if there's not support, I won't waste the board's time any further.
Are you asking that of the applicant, or are you asking
that of the board?
Of the board.
The discussion point right now, whether there's...
Can I make a comment then if we're discussing?
Yes, Mr. Galecki.
I guess where I struggle as far as terms is that, 50%, 50-50 is pretty consistent with what we've done since 2012. Nagy is right in that, consistently just about every year, the transportation, which it's very important, not diminishing the importance of this project. But there's always another project coming up. And the other point is, without having actual financials of what they can afford, I think you have to stick with what's been consistent. So that's, I just wanted to make some additional comments to support Nagy.
Yeah, and making a comment would be more than happy to bring those to you with the financials. Our mineral lease money's down over probably 60%. The infrastructure out there and these things that we are asked to build and put together for these booms and busts that comes, I think we're very lenient on what we come out here and ask for. We are asked and do it, but they come and go. Wish we'd had a little more foresight back during the boom and been a little tighter with things. But I am, as commissioner is here, this is what I'm dealt and this is where we're at. I'd be more than happy to bring any of the financial stuff that you want to see with the SSD district, UTSSD, we'd be more than happy. Things are tough.
Just a comment on maybe the 50-50 concept. If you were to consider the White River Bridge, which is a separate project, it's federally funded, so we're not mixing the two, but if you consider that, If this project were funded more three-quarter-quarter, then it would essentially be about half of the total solution in this section. That would be a 50-50. This board would be funding through grant about half of the entire solution through the corridor, if you include the bridge in the math.
Mr. Winterton.
Maybe just to come back, bring the board back to, if you go back to the policies and that, those counties that are participating active mineral lease counties that put into the fund that we divvy out here, Yuna County contributes a lot more than what we've given back to them. They do qualify for 0% interest because of that. It still keeps our fund a loan. If it's a loan, it still comes back. So we're not losing out. What we're losing out would be the interest that we would be gaining off from that. I think we accomplish the same thing by 0% interest, which would help them. And so I would make the motion that we do 50-50 at 0% interest for 15 years. Now, if you want to look at their financials, again, if you guys can project your revenues for CIB, you can also project what they're going to be getting. You don't need to see their financials because they don't know that either. But I think that if we need to defer it, that should be also considered there, that they could do that. That's my motion.
A substitute motion on the table is a $2,266,000 loan at 15 years, 0%, and a $2,265,000 grant. That's a substitute motion. Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
A second from Commissioner Adams. Further discussion to that motion? Seeing none, we'll place it to a vote. That is on the substitute motion that was just mentioned, $2,266,000, 15 years, 0%, and a $2,265,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, let me get some hands raised here. In favor, raise your hand. Commissioner Adams, Commissioner Winterton, Commissioner Lytle, and opposed, Mr. Galecki, Commissioner Zanotti, Mr. Farrell, and Mr. Ogden. That motion fails. Back to the original motion, and that is a 50-50, 15-year, 2.5%. So that's the $2,266,000 loan, 15 years, 2.5%, and a $2,265,000 grant. In favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, so I think let me just make sure we got the same voting structure. In favor of that motion are Mr. Galecki, Mr. Zanotti, Mr. Ogden, Mr. Farrell, and opposed, Commissioner Winterton, Commissioner Lytle, Commissioner Adams. That motion passes. That's what will be placed on the priority list, and we will see you at the February funding meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, Castle Valley Special Service District. Invite them up to the table and turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Item number 2 on today's agenda is Castle Valley Special Service District with a request for their consolidated capital projects 2019. The request is for $1,698,000, of which $848,000 is a 6-year, 2.5% loan, and $850,000 in grant. This will include road improvements, culinary, water, and sewer. And if you're not familiar with the Castle Valley Special Service District system, it's a very good system. They solicit priority projects from the communities that are part of the Special Service District, which include Elmo, Cleveland, Huntington, Castledale, Orangeville, Clausen, Barron, and Emory. And with that, I'll have them discuss their project.
Great. want to introduce yourselves for the record and add anything to that description?
For the record, I am Jacob Sharp, the manager of the Castle Valley Special Service District. I'll excuse our engineer today. They weren't able to attend the meeting. We've got Zion. That's what Nadi called him. Alex Buxton with Zion's Bank Public Finance.
The distributor of chocolate peanuts.
Chocolate peanut man. Yep. Like Candace said, most of you are probably familiar with the structure that we've used for many years. The last few years I've been talking about, we've been leading up to the end of our current general obligation bond, and this $848,000 originally was $848,700. That was the last remaining funding we have as part of this 2009 general obligation bond that we're going on. And so it would be our intent over the next 4 to 5 months to update our capital facility plan, identify projects for the future, and go to our voters next fall with another general obligation bond to try and continue this process. Of course, that'll be up to the voting public when that time comes. So this is the last remaining part of our authorization. As Candace said, we do incrementally in each of our towns improvement projects to streets, road, drainages, updating our culinary water and secondary water sewer collection systems. We build a new water treatment plant with this general obligation bond money over the last few years, and just appreciate the opportunity to work with the CIB and the relationship that we've built and maintained here. So I guess with that, I don't think I have any more comments. Open to questions or concerns.
Commissioner Winterton.
I appreciate the model that Jacob runs off from. If everybody would do what they have done, it makes our jobs a lot easier. I'd make a motion that we accept this application as proposed and funded at 6 years at 2.5%, and basically it's a 50-50 loan.
Second.
Okay, so motion by Commissioner Winter, second Commissioner Winterton, seconded by Commissioner Adams to approve a $848,000 six-year loan at 2.5% and $850,000 grant. Further discussion to that motion, Mr. Zanotti.
Again, ditto to Mr. Commissioner Winterton about Jacobs, really the way he presented the cases before us. But have you have any update for us about the projects we have approved, what the status are, every one of them, or things that are progressing right, wrong, how much behind the delay? Do you have anything?
We, by and large, complete each project in that following construction year. So this year, all of our projects are wrapped up. There's a little bit where we did some construction and are going to have to relocate a small water line for a sprinkling system, a project that we did in conjunction with the school district that's going to wait until spring. But, yeah, our projects are done. A few years ago we did a new water treatment plant in Farron. Been great. That's been operating for almost 2 years now. All of our projects are wrapped up and finished, and typically are finished that following year. So these projects will finish in the construction season of 2019.
Okay.
Mr. Galecki.
I guess, you know, often we have projects come in that then go over budget, because they say costs have gone up and such. I guess your project, since you're doing it on an annual basis, you stay pretty close to, current pricing on things. Is that how it works? In the last few years, have projects been shortened or, not as much?
Yes. Yeah, they have been. And the nature of us doing these projects each year, when the last few years we've experienced our bids coming back a little higher than anticipated. But what we do is as a board, my board, which has representatives from each of our cities and towns on it, we trim the projects that, so a certain town maybe will take a hit that year, and then in anticipation that the following year they'll be able to do that in their town and maybe get a little more or a bigger share of that money the next year. So if in the event we're over budget, we've just trimmed our projects back and moved some of these onto the following year and done it like that. So that's the nature of these projects. They're smaller in each town, and so they're able to be balanced maybe from year to year if we need to.
As Mr. Winterton said, it's a good model.
Very good.
Mr. Adams?
Jacob, I'm going to say something you might not like, but think about it.
Okay.
We've had the mayor of Huntington, the new mayor of Huntington, come in with a baseball field project. He's really concerned about Title IX and providing a place for the girls to play. That and he's really trying to figure out how to do this. Is there any way moving forward that you can include his project in what you're doing? I don't know. I keep thinking about how we can help that mayor, and he's really passionate about this thing. I think he's even on the school board or was on the school board down there. You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
I think I know who you're talking about. If he potentially passed away, if that's who you're talking about. So
we really need to help him then.
Yeah. So the mayor of Huntington, we had a mayor in Huntington. You may have known her for a long time, Hillary Gordon.
Yeah, I knew.
Lamar Guyman, who was our sheriff in Emory County for a lot of years, became mayor this year. He helped troubles.
Who am I talking
and so we
about?
Have a Emory? Brand new mayor, and if that's who you're talking know. About, yes. So
not for Huntington because he's
it telling. Might not be Huntington. It might be.
It was Orangeville.
Is it Orangeville or Castledale or?
Could be. Yeah.
Somebody. He's come in a couple times, trying to get a. A ball field.
So potentially, if that's the description, potentially Orangeville. You said Huntington, and so sorry to give you the history of the Huntington mayor, but we had a new mayor this year who passed away, and now a brand new mayor is in there who, you know, just as of last month. But you may be talking about Orangeville. So recreation-type projects in our district have traditionally been separate. As we move forward into our next capital facilities plan, and I meet with obviously our board members, and he would be one of them. It's probably Mayor Swenson who you're talking about, and getting with county leaders and our city leaders. Potentially, the scope of the things that our district does could be modified.
It is Orangeville.
Orangeville,
Mayor
Orangeville. Mayor Swenson, yeah, Roger Swenson.
Yeah, he. Yeah.
Who sits on our board?
He's still living, right?
He is. He's still living. I apologize, but you threw the mayor of Huntington at me, and that there's very recently been some changes there.
Okay.
So,
well, I led you astray, so I'm not going to blame you. It's mostly my fault. But
would you like the question called, Bruce?
You want to save him for himself?
So,
okay.
Yeah, recreation projects. Have not, in this district have been separate traditionally, and as moving forward, a new general obligation bond, if we want to change the scope or the types of project that our district does, it's something that our city leaders and county leaders probably would have to
sure.
discuss and consider, but
I'll see him at AOG. I'll talk to him and have him get with you. I don't know if that's something you want to even delve into or not, but. We just haven't been able to help him up to this point.
It would involve probably attorneys and changing the scope of the types of projects we do.
If it involves attorneys, forget it.
Yeah.
Oh, just kidding.
Okay, question before us is to approve a $148,000 six-year loan, 2.5%, and $850,000 grant for Castle Valley Special Service District. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Thank you. We'll see you at the February funding meeting.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next project is San Pete County. Invite them up to the table. Candace, I know we're going to have a riveting discussion on this because I was getting educated on this particular process myself. So, Candace.
Number three on the agenda today is San Pete County. The request is for CITLA easements. The request amount is $116,000, all grant. I did send you all the CITLA background because many of you have not been on this board and discussed these projects. So what theirs entails is purchasing permanent easements or obtaining permanent easements on 46 miles of Class D roads across CITLA property. Of the 62 miles of Class D roads across CITLA property, 16 miles will be acknowledged by CITLA without compensation. The 16 miles of roads were established before CITLA acquired the underlying properties and are considered a valid existing right. The remaining 46 miles of roads were established after CITLA acquired the underlying properties, which necessitates compensation to CITLA for corresponding permanent easements. CITLA has agreed to work with the county, and if I have a list of prior projects that have done similar, this is to make sure that the roads stay open, that no one can close the roads because the easements will be owned by the counties. And with that, CIB does not reimburse for CITLA administration. They know, so that's up to the county. And welcome back.
All right. Well, we got you here to represent this project. You want to introduce yourselves for us?
I'm Commissioner Scott Bartholomew from San Pete. We appreciate you hearing this. I think we all...
Can you pull that mic closer to you so... Helps us record it.
I think you all agree that it's very important to keep our roads open, and this is a step in that direction.
I'm Nancy Strickland, representing Trustlands, or CITLA, and I'm the county easement person that actually works with the counties for them to obtain permanent easements on Trustlands.
Great. So some of you may be a lot more familiar with this process if you've been around a little longer on this board than I have, but it was kind of a new concept to me. Questions from the board? Commissioner Winterton.
I just make a motion that we accept this as been presented. I mean, it's in line with what we have done in previous years, and most of the time we see B roads, but it was the intent to come back and do D roads, and this is probably the start of it.
Second that motion.
Okay, so we have a motion by Commissioner Winterton, a second by Commissioner Ogden to approve a $116,000 grant. Further discussion on that motion, Commissioner Adams.
I sensed that you wanted me to say something because I'm the grandfather of the board.
Yeah, you've probably been through this process before.
Back in the days of Bill Redd, who served on this board for a long time, San Juan County was... had some CITLA parcels that were being purchased by individuals, and they were concerned that their road easements would remain on those parcels even after a new buyer had bought that. So San Juan County began to purchase those easements prior to the sale. We spent $2 million purchasing CITLA easements. I think the commissioners approached the CIB and said, you know, every county can't afford that, and San Juan County can't afford it anymore. We've been trying to get CIB to reimburse us ever since, but it hasn't gone well. But I'm kidding. As a board, decided at that time that it was important enough that CITLA had enough property in the state of Utah. It was important enough for counties to own those easements to make sure that the public had access on roads through these CITLA easements as they're sold to various individuals. And that's really a kind of a quick background on the whole thing. And like you say, most of the board members are gone, except maybe me and Ron or a couple of guys. But it's something that we've committed as a board to do for more than 10 years. So I encourage the board to support this.
Mr. Glucky, you have a question?
Yeah, actually just one comment. I was just kind of wondering, What facilitates the timing of getting these? I mean, just when they're notified, when SITLA wants to, you know, when does this come about?
That's a good question. So I talk to the counties and ask them when they want to apply, and they work it out with the commissioners. They work it out, and then they let me know when they want to submit their application. And I do meet with the counties, and we talk about each road that they get to pick out what roads they want in their road easement, and then I figure out all the pricing and all the road information, and then they fill out their application, submit it.
So are these all the Class D roads that are in the county?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
That cross SITLA. Yeah,
right. Right.
Good distinction there.
And I think we purchased most of the counties. I think that process is getting close to being completed, isn't it?
Yes. So we did all the Class B roads, and now we're working on the Class B roads for every county that has trust lands that have trust lands. And so I think Sanpete County is about the fifth or sixth county that we've done Class D roads on. So we're about more than halfway through with the counties.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner Ogden.
I just want to make a comment along the same line. We just went through this not too long ago, and I think it's very crucial that we protect our roads. That's something that we continue to defend and across the counties. We continue to be challenged every time someone comes in to buy a piece of ground, whether it be private or going across state lands. And we're in a situation in Sevier County right now because of a situation that we was not aware of, I guess, or stay aware of it for long enough that these roads will be continued to be challenged. So I think this is a real important and vital thing for us as counties. I do know that Garfield County just went through a situation. A landowner just purchased a big piece of ground down there for grazing. Well, it's going out of grazing into something else. So I fear and hope that they've got the right-of-ways through that piece of ground, because that could be a very difficult thing going forward for them. So as Bruce has also mentioned, these are pretty crucial things for our counties and keeping our getting to point A to point B through SITLA land, to forest land, or BLM land. So,
great. Okay, the question before us is to approve a $116,000 grant. Is there an urgency on timing for this, or is February funding meeting fine to get a final decision on this?
There's no urgency.
Okay. So it's to approve a $116,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion passes unanimously. It will be placed on the priority list for the February funding meeting. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next project is the Town of Wells. Invite them to the table. Candace, briefing on this project.
Number four on the agenda today is an application from the Town of Wells for a public safety building. The request is $604,000, total CIB, $104,000, 2.5% loan, and a $500,000 grant. This is for constructing an 80-foot by 85-foot steel building with three drive-through engine bays, office training area, and equipment storage. Wellstown has a park, fire station, town hall, cemetery, but the fire department provides structural fire protection, fire mitigation, and firefighting infrastructure. The town fire department is responsible for providing fire protection to the west side of Sanpete Valley. Wellstown Fire Department also is one of four fire departments in Sanpete County that provide vehicle extraction services. Wellstown Fire Department consists of 22 active members and include a fire chief, assistant chief, and training officer. All department members
are structure protection and wildland red card certified. That's for you, Commissioner Rothman. The department has two engines, two brush trucks, and a large water tender. Whalestown has acquired the land, so they made that contribution to the project, and they've also paid for the building plans. The current building is a 40 by 60 tin-sided steel building. The building has no air conditioning and is heated by overhead natural gas. By the way, great public hearing. Did you look at this? It was good. Not everyone in attendance had a copy of the CIB application. Mayor Jensen read through pages 7 and 8. It was awesome. Whalestown only asks for funding when they need it. That's what was said in the application. So with that, I will turn the time over to the chairman.
All right, we have our applicant with us. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. I'm Mayor Keith Jensen from Whalestown. It's been 4 years since I've been in front of you to ask for some help, and I appreciate you looking at this project. Our fire department is one of the best in the county. Just this last year, we've been on 5 major wildland fires, including Pole Creek, Coal Hollow. We sent a crew to California. It's a great fire department. Coming from a town of 302 persons, we have 22 active members. It's quite a feat, and they're great guys. As Candace mentioned, the current structure is really inadequate for what we have. We have about 6 vehicles, and they are literally sardined in this structure. It was built in the 1980s. The fire district built it. We do own state-of-the-art equipment. In 2011, we got a new engine. But she had mentioned the extraction equipment. It's just that the building is inadequate for what we have. One other note, this project is ranked number 1 on the county's priority list. You've probably seen that in the packet. The county has recognized that this is an important project for the county. So with that, I'll entertain any questions.
Let's go to questions from the board.
I've just got to
Mr. Ogden.
Your fire department. I'm a member of the fire department in Spear County as well, and I've been on some of these situations that you guys have been on as well. Fire district, is your fire district, I guess I'm asking the question, do they have some funding that they could help with part of this or have put some
no,
money
so
into this?
They fund all of our vehicles. And
okay.
So this would be owned by the town, the building itself. The current building, I believe, is still owned by the fire district. I don't know that we've ever made the deed transfer to where we own that building yet. And like I said, it was in the 1980s when that building was constructed.
Okay.
Commissioner Adams?
It sounds like you've got pretty much all the equipment you need as far as engines and firefighting equipment. Do you anticipate needing any more in the very near future, or you feel like you've got what you need?
No, we pretty much have what we need as far as vehicles. So the fire district provides the funding for the vehicles. The town provides the funding for most of the PPE. So all the turnouts and anything like that that the town funds. We apply for grants every year to get additional turnout equipment and that sort of thing. So everything is pretty up to date. We've added a few new members, so we need some turnout, but the fire chief is going to go for some more grant money for the turnouts.
So you depend on those grants. You're not a taxing district. You don't have money coming in from
no,
tax.
So we have an average annual budget of $69,000, and most of that comes from general sales and use tax. Okay. We have 0 retail business in the town. It's interesting to me. I hear towns, they squabble over $5,000, $15,000, $500,000. We literally squabble over 50 cents at city council meeting with a budget of $69,000. So,
yeah, that's no laughing matter. Okay.
Do you have any
Farrell.
Idea, once you establish ownership of the existing building, what the use of the existing building could be?
So we currently have some other town-owned equipment. We have a backhoe, a dump truck, and a snow plow that are currently outside in the weather. So it'll be a good building to house that, to get it inside. And so.
Mr. Glucky.
You know, with a budget of $69,000, and although it doesn't, a loan of $104,000 doesn't seem like a lot, you know, they're going to be paying about $5,000 a year on their payments. Coming from San Pete and, you know, a town of 300 having 22 active members, you know, it's pretty, it's a pretty active community with very little coming in. That being said, I move to approve as listed.
Second.
And a second. Mr. Zanotti. Okay, so the motion by Mr. Galecki and seconded by Commissioner Zanotti is a $500,000 grant and a $104,000 loan, 20 years at 0% is what has been requested in their application. That's the motion on the table. Further discussion of that motion. Commissioner Winterton.
I'd like to discuss that because we just turned down the largest producer and gave them 2.5%, and we're giving somebody 0%, I would make a substitute motion that it's 2.5% to be consistent.
Okay. So the substitute motion is a $500,000 grant, $104,000 loan, 20 years, 2.5%. Is there a second to that motion? A second from the Treasurer Damshin. Further discussion of that motion?
I believe on the sheet it actually... was at 2.5%.
The white sheet is not correct. So that's not what was requested. So if you look in the board packet on the project summary sheet, they did request 20 years at zero. But so there is a discrepancy there on the white sheet.
That's our fault.
Yeah.
Do we need to make a motion to have the staff pay the...
the difference. So, okay.
Ho, ho, ho.
We're paying with that shape.
Yeah, the egg on the face. Okay, so the substitute motion on the table is a $500,000 grant, 20 year, and $104,000 loan, 20 years, 2.5%. Those in favor of that motion, raise your hand.
I will change it to.
Okay. Are you raising your hand? Oh, all in favor. Okay. Everybody's in favor of that motion. Any opposed to that motion? Okay. That passes unanimously. That's easy. I don't have to start naming off names. Okay. So that is approved as a onto the priority list as a $500,000 grant and a $104,000 loan, 20 years, 2.5%. And we'll see you at the February funding meeting.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. All right, let's try to get through these next two here. Same community, Bryce Canyon City up to the table. And turn the time over to Candace for a briefing.
Number five on the agenda, I think I have it accurately on the white sheet, is Bryce Canyon City Community Recreation Center is the project. The request is a $1,530,000 total CIB, half grant, half loan, $765,000 30-year at 2.5%, and $765,000 grant. This project will consist of constructing an 11,840 square foot facility that will provide a weightlifting room, a gymnasium, restrooms, mechanical spaces for recreation purposes and community events. They have a very low magi. In the public hearing minutes, the project was discussed because they weren't indicated in the meeting. Recently, the city has been housing weightlifting and exercise equipment in the existing city public safety building. Firefighters and other first responders have most generally used this, but many other citizens have utilized the facilities and the demand is growing. So the city recognizes that there's a need to move the equipment and have a dedicated building for these activities. That is the purpose of this request. Additionally, the equipment is taking up much needed space in the public safety building, and that building is needed for emergency vehicles and equipment.
that is what this is for.
Great. Thanks, Candace. We have our applicants and their engineer, at least, with us. So if you want to introduce yourselves for us.
Sure. I'm Mayor Syrett, Bryce Canyon City. Just to give you a little background of this. Actually, back in 2012, the CIB gave us some funding for this building, and it's been a great asset to our community. And recently, Bryce Canyon City, we're in the process of purchasing a new fire truck, and the last bay that isn't used in that facility is being occupied by weight equipment. We didn't ever anticipate the use that we've had out of it, but I have over 100 people that have access to this, and it seems to be growing every year. So.
You're the strongest city in the state, is that what you're saying? Because everybody does weightlifting.
A lot of these people actually come from different communities, and they find it convenient to exercise, I guess, before or after work. And so I don't know if I'm the strongest, though.
Anything else you want to add to the description that Candace gave to the board?
I'll just mention the city is paying for the
and introduce yourself, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I'm Kendrick Thomas with Jones and DeMille Engineering. The city is paying for ahead of time out of their own funds the design engineering for the project as well as environmental study that needed to be done for prairie dogs. And we actually have the project ready to bid right now. And the reason for that is they want to be able to construct the building through spring and summer of this coming year. So project will bid in January in time for us to come back in February for the funding meeting at that time and potentially adjust the amounts if it's over or under budget. We've been concerned with higher building costs recently and potential steel cost fluctuations because of the tariffs and whatnot.
Okay, let's go to the board here. Mr. Znati?
Motion to approve as requested.
Second.
Okay, well, that was quick. And so a motion by Mr. Znati and a second by Commissioner Winterton to approve a $765,000 grant and a $765,000 loan, 30 years at 2.5%. Further discussion of that motion. Commissioner Adams?
I'm wondering a little bit about this project. This seems like something that those folks that use the facility might ought to be paying a little bit to use the facility. This is not like a water line or a sewer line or a medical building or something like this. This looks to me like a little bit of a want in here rather than a need. A lot of tourism dollars come into this community. It seems to me like maybe some TRT or something like that ought to go to help with this facility, maybe in paying off a little bit more loan. I don't know. It just doesn't feel quite right like what the board normally would look at. And so I'm thinking a little bit more like a 70-30 split on this thing with 70% loan and 30% grant. But I don't know. It just feels so much like a want than a need to me. And it looks like a community might be able to come up with some of their own dollars, either having those folks that are using the facility to weightlift and all of those kind of things. You know, I don't know if you have in your communities places that they can go to the gym and pay a fee each month to use the gym or whatever. And I may be way out in left field. That might be more urban type of things, but. It just seems to me like a 50-50 is a little bit generous, but I don't know. Ho, 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 Greg.
Is that a motion?
Do you have a substitute motion?
Yeah, that'll make that as a substitute motion.
So a 70-30, if I did, I got my calculator out while you were kind of ruminating over this, would be 1,071,000 loan. You're suggesting same terms, 2.5% for 30 years, and a $459,000 grant. That would be the substitute motion on the table.
Second.
And a second from Commissioner Ogden. Discussion to that substitute motion?
Can we ask a question from the mayor?
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Yes.
So how do you respond to that 70-30? What, do you have a fee-based usage of the facilities, or what do you have?
Previously, we haven't, just because we didn't plan to have that many people use it. But in discussion of building this, we would charge a fee. There would be something there to put back into it. And I might mention that the gymnasium that we plan on, you know, building with this is that I feel like there's a need in the community. It's hard to get access to a gymnasium. As you know, in Bryce Canyon, we have about 3 months of summer, I feel like. And previously, we put a lot of money into our park. We resurfaced the basketball court there, and every night all summer long, it's filled. But in the wintertime, there's nowhere to go. And over the past, we haven't sought any funding. We purchased a fire truck, you know, out of our funds. Everything we've done since 2012, you know, has been on all cash. So.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yeah, what about, like Bruce had mentioned, using some of your TRT money, or even they do have outdoor recreation grants that you may apply for would help with this?
We've looked into the outdoor, but it can't be a building from my understanding. But what was your first question? What was your first point? The TRT tax. We've looked at it, and I just recently learned over the last year a municipal TRT tax that we could impose to help with that, and that's probably a good possibility of next year, you know, putting that through.
That could be a good
And the RAP tax, Recreational Arts and Parks, we've looked at that too, and that'll probably be next year on a ballot.
Go ahead.
Make one more comment.
Yes, and if you can introduce yourself also.
I'm Gene Seiler. I'm with Bryce Canyon City as a part-time manager. But over the years, we've kind of positioned to be a partner with all the surrounding communities as well as the county in Garfield County. And one of the first projects that we took on as a community was to build the new shuttle parking and staging areas so that they could have the shuttle service operate outside of Bryce Canyon National Park. And the town took over the financial expense of all of that because park came to us with no offers of reimbursement. And so we've been carrying that. And then as we've developed our public safety building, it's become a partnering effort as well. And it's not only housing our community equipment, but it's also housing emergency response equipment for the county. And the last couple of winters, it's actually housed the IHC's mobile clinic, which we never anticipated that we'd be sponsoring a mobile clinic inside the fire station for the community and the surrounding area. So we've got some other things that we're already pretty heavily involved in and financially still paying off, and that's why as we're looking at this project, we came in with the idea of a 50-50 match.
Thank you. Commissioner Lytle.
Pardon me for not knowing the area well, but how far away is the closest high school or other gymnasium?
About 8 miles from Bryce Canyon City in Tropic.
Thank you.
Seeing no further comments or discussion, the question before us on the substitute motion is to approve a $1,071,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%, and a $459,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. So that's what's on the priority list for the February funding meeting.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think you guys are sticking around here for this next one also. So just turn the time briefly over to Candace on this description.
As you recall, at the last meeting, the board did discuss about the smaller planning grants being done by the Community Development Office. That won't begin until July 1st.
those applications submitted in June will then be under their purview. This came in under the original board plan, and it is Bryce Canyon City, number 6, for a general plan. The request is $20,000 in grant funding. They do have their $20,000 in cash. The project will be for creating a new general plan to review changing population, businesses, and general development of the city with a view to encouraging growth while maintaining the vision of our rural atmosphere. And I think that, you know, they'll probably plan on what to do about getting funding for the last project. The residents and business owners in Bryce Canyon want to find a way to grow while maintaining the rural atmosphere. So that's what this plan will do.
Okay, we still have our applicants up here with one new member. So anything else you want to add to that description?
As a gateway community to Bryce Canyon City, we're just looking for some good direction in the future. And we've had a short general plan in the past, and, you know, we enhanced our Main Street, got a public safety building. We feel like we've accomplished that, and we just we would like to look at something for the future in our planning and a way to grow.
Okay. Questions or motions from the board?
Motion to approve.
A motion from Commissioner Adams and a second from Councilman Farrell to approve a $20,000 grant. Further discussion of that motion?
By having a weightlifting place, you just ruined the rural community.
Yeah. Hopefully we can get some outdoor recreation going.
Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
It'll also be at the February meeting on the funding list, priority list. Okay, let's take a 10-minute break. Let's. Okay, I think we have most of our board members at or near their seat positions. To get started again, we have the town of Tropic at the table with us. I'll turn briefly the time over to Candace.
Number 7 on the agenda is the town of Tropic with a request for $11,000 in grant funding to do a general plan. It will be for updating the general plan and zoning ordinances to reflect current population and businesses in alignment with state statute for future growth and development. They do have their $11,000 cash match. The current general plan was adopted in 1996. Might need a little tweaking. A great deal has changed since then, and we need to update them for internal consistency. They have many issues such as workforce housing, transportation, and they intend to work collaboratively with Bryce Canyon City, the 5 county AOG, and the regional partners on this project. Just a plan.
Okay, do you want to introduce yourselves for us?
So, my name is Waylon Brinker. I'm the mayor of Tropic. I have our treasurer, Cassie Schnoff, with us, and Michael Hansen to help us with our general plan. As she stated, you know, it's 22 years old, so in a dire need of an update. Many issues, I think she mentioned some housing. We have some water and sewer issues, some infrastructure problems, commercial growth. A lot of people want to build things, and just some of the things we're facing. So we appreciate the board's consideration of our project, and thank you for your time.
Great. Go to the board. Questions, motions?
Motion to approve, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
I'm just surprised that they're not asking the same amount of rice.
A motion from Commissioner Zanotti for approval of an $11,000 grant, and a second from Commissioner Lytle. Further discussion of that motion?
I just want to know what the population of Tropic is.
Okay. It's a good question.
So Tropic is one of 4 communities in the Bryce Valley area. Bryce Canyon City is our neighbor. They have a lot more hotel rooms than we do, but we have the largest actual population, about maybe between 500 and 600 people in Tropic. And we have Canville and Henryville as well, so there's four little communities that make up Tropic. We're kind of the capital of the school. Yeah. The school is located in Tropic. So, Bryce Canyon City goes to church with us too. So.
Okay. Commissioner Lytle.
Mike, what's the difference in the prices?
Difference in the prices, there was a report that was done by the Rural Planning Group that did a lot of the legwork that would, I think accelerate some of the cost. Mm-hmm. It would lower the cost on our side because there was some good demographic work that was done. So.
Good job.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Not. The question before us is to approve an $11,000 grant. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Passes unanimously. That's
thank
also
so
on the
much.
Priority list for the February funding meeting. Okay. Next, we have the Tooele City Municipal Building Authority. This is a biggie. So, yeah, turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this one.
Tooele City Municipal Building Authority is number 8 on the agenda, and their request is for $9 million, 30 years at 2.5% loan to construct a public safety building. It would be a 22,549 square foot building, meeting seismic standards. There will be an ancillary building with it. It's going to store, the ancillary building is going to store police vehicles and SWAT vehicles and bus and van, etc. All of the oversized evidence storage and police dog kennels, as well as kennels for animals picked up when animal control is not on duty. So the big building will be to do interview rooms, briefing rooms, training and community areas, offices, restrooms, and mechanical areas. If you've seen the picture, it's a nice-looking building. It appears to be it's not a prefab. It's brick and mortar. So my question would be, what is entailed in the administration amount of $71,005? And what is the owner's project contingency of $417,125? It is on property, approximately 2.5 acres, and the proposed public safety building as described. The public hearing minutes, it's for the purpose of acquisition, construction, and equipping of a new police facility and related improvements. The public hearing minutes were good.
All right. We have our applicants with us. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Chairman and Board members. I appreciate this opportunity to introduce myself and our project to you. I am Debbie Wynn, the Mayor of Tooele City, and I have with me today our Deputy Finance Director, Shannon Wimmer. I also have our City Engineer and the Project Engineer, Project Manager for this project, and this is Mr. Paul Hansen. When I took office in January of this year, I worked with the City Council to provide an opportunity for our residents to have input on city decision-making. In February, we held a town hall meeting where we heard from our residents as to their wants and their needs. We also gave residents an opportunity to complete a survey to find out what residents supported. Overwhelmingly, the answer was public safety. We were asked to hire additional police officers and to build a new police station. Our police department has outgrown the current building where they work. They reside in a building that was formerly an auto parts store. They moved to this temporary building 30 years ago. They have always been promised that we would build them a new police station one day. The current building is not up to code, and it is not ADA compliant. Although many repairs have been done, this facility is not suitable for our officers. Tooele City has invested over $450,000 in property acquisition over the past 15 years, and we have $1.2 million in reserve for this building. Earlier this year, the city council and I went through a process of raising taxes. This was the first tax increase in Tooele City for 36 years. Although no one likes tax increases, our residents understood the need and they support this decision to construct this building for our officers. We are now ready to make the dream of a new police station a reality. I would like to thank your staff for their help in preparing this application, specifically Candace and Brenda. They were a great help to us, and we appreciate their efforts. Also in attendance today with me is our finance director, our financial consultant, and our architect, and we would be happy to answer any questions for you.
All right. Board, Commissioner Adams.
What is the population of Tooele?
Estimated right now, we're close to 35,000.
This is a project that truly is a need. And how could you have anything more appropriate than what they're requesting? You know, they've gone to their citizens and anybody that puts their life on the line and in their job and in their duty, you feel good about those kind of requests. I'm 100% for this project and would make a motion to approve it if you're ready for that.
I'll second.
Okay. So a motion by Commissioner Adams and a second from Treasurer Dampson. Sorry, got you there, Commissioner. To approve a $9 million 30-year loan at 2.5%. Further discussion to that motion?
Is it 30 or 15?
I've got 30-year on my sheet. What's the term?
The application said 15.
The application says 15, I think.
All right. My white sheet here. Okay. Is it 15 years?
It is 30.
It's 30 that you want.
We are requesting 30.
30 years. Okay. All right. So 30 years. Do you want to address the administration and the contingency line items there?
Yes, I believe those costs are for the financial consultant for the documents and for the bond counsel. And the title insurance as well.
Okay. That's the administration line item. Okay.
Questions?
Commissioner Zanotti.
Mayor Wynn, you mentioned $450,000 toward the property. Is that the current purchase? What is the $450,000 for?
We have spent $450,000 in the last 15 years acquiring the property. It is located directly behind the current city hall, and those have been homes that we have purchased.
So that's the 2.5 acres that you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, it is. And the photographs that you will see, there is still one building that is there. We do own that. We have just not torn that down yet. But, yes, we own all of that property now.
And you also mentioned $1 million reserve.
Yes, we do.
You're going to use this one above the what money you're borrowing?
We will use this in addition. Yes, we will.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry if you mentioned this or it's in the application already. Where are the police housed out of? Is it right next door to the city hall?
No, it is not. It is at another location on Main Street. It is prime retail spot. Although I will tell you that the building is not suitable for anything but demolition. It really is not. But we will, as soon as we're moved out of that facility, we will get that appraised and we will sell that and then again put that money back towards this loan.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Seeing no further discussion, the question before us is to approve a $9 million 30-year loan, 2.5%. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. That will be on the priority list for the February funding meeting.
Thank you. On behalf of our residents and especially our police officers, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, next project is the Daggett County Service Area Number 1. They're number 1. All right. So I'll turn the time over to Candace for a briefing and invite them up to the table.
Item number 9 on today's agenda
of the new projects is from Daggett County Service Area Number 1. It's for road reconstruction and improvements in an unincorporated area near Manila. The request is for $227,000 in grant. They do have in-kind in gravel. This will consist of reconstructing and widening 2.26 miles of existing dirt roadway in the unincorporated area of Daggett County near Manila. And they list several drives: East Rainbow Drive, South Trout Drive, South Gorge Drive, South Meadow View Drives, East Mackinac Street, and East Brook Lane, to provide 22 feet wide road, including drainage and culverts, driveway approaches, and other improvements to accommodate a wider gravel road. So this is for gravel roads. After much discussion, it was decided that they would ask for a grant just to widen and improve the roads and bring down and lay the gravel that they own, with engineering to oversee that it is done correctly. So their request is for $227,000 in grant, and they're contributing the gravel.
Great. Well, we've got a team of people here also, so if you want to introduce yourselves for us.
Thank you. My name is Matt Tippett. I'm the chairman of the Daggett County Service Area Number 1. I have with me Mike Hensley, who is the clerk of the service area, Brett Reynolds, who is our engineer, and Brett Polson, who is the previous chair that's done a lot of the legwork on this project. So the service area is responsible for the maintenance and improvements for 2.5 miles of roads that service service 44 different lots in our neighborhood. The service area collects through property taxes approximately between $4,000 and $5,000 annually, which is enough money to maintain the roads, but not to make large scale improvements. We have a safety issue and an emergency service issue. The fire department and the ambulances have difficulty coming into this area during wet and winter months in particular, and there are some areas where the roads are only about 11 feet wide, and for a vehicle to two vehicles to pass each other, one vehicle has to pull off the side of the road, which constitutes a problem for our emergency services. So with that, I'll mention also that our original intent was to ask for monies to be able to do a double chip seal on this project, not just an improvement on the gravel road structure, but it was determined that that was perhaps too ambitious of a project for us to undertake financially. So we scaled the project back to what we feel is a minimum to increase the safety factor on these roads. The original project was estimated to be about $650,000 for double chip seal, and we scaled it back just to make improvements to the gravel road.
One of the improvements that we are going to make, Brett Reynolds with CIPCO, their engineer, one of the improvements we are going to make is the connection to the state highway. Mm-hmm. Is in need of repair. There's a bad drop-off right there, and so we are going to be working with UDOT to improve that connection to the state highway.
Okay, questions from the board? Commissioner Winterton?
On the Association of Governments review of this program, they did scale it back, and I appreciate that fact, and that they're only willing to take on what they can honestly maintain. Most small communities come in here and want, you know, the gold roads, and so I appreciate the fact that they've scaled this back just to be graveled roads, and they feel comfortable they can maintain those. And so I would make a motion that we approve this as been presented.
Motion's in order. Is there a second?
I'll second.
A second from Mr. Galecki. We knew if it was a gravel road that we would get Greg get involved on that one. I was running to the same kind of gravel if they were scraping the roads in your town and moving them somewhere else, because we hear a lot about the gravel roads where Greg lives. further discussion to that motion. Mr. Zanotti.
You mentioned that some of the road sections are 10 feet or less in width. So how are you going to deal with that if that's the problem?
That's the purpose of the project, is to go ahead and widen it to
so
the
22
feet.
So you're going
to
widen it?
Oh, yes. That's the purpose of the...
Why don't you just going to road-based maintenance? So
no,
you
no.
You're going to acquire the properties, right-of-ways?
No, we have the right-of-ways to do it. So it's just a matter of, through the years, they just haven't had the funds to widen like they want to.
So you're going to two lanes or turn to three
lanes?
Yeah,
the 22 feet wide throughout.
Thank you.
Commissioner Adams.
You call this phase one. So I understand you've scaled back. So phase two, you'll be back to get the money to do the double chip seal. I'm just...
You know, not necessarily.
Okay.
We would like to leave that option open in the future. We want to place the material properly so that in the future, if we had the resources available, we could produce a double chip seal road on the surface that we're improving at this time. We have no plans of definitely coming back and asking for more monies. We just want to do it right and bring it up to a county standard, so that if that were an option in the future, we could pursue it.
I guess where I was going with my question was, if you're coming back to get the double chip seal, I just wondered if it made sense to mobilize to do just a gravel road, and then in a year or so mobilize again to do the double chip seal. What you know,
so part
maybe the engineer can tell me what the really the smart thing to do is if we're looking at a two-phase project, is it smart to do two mobilizations and to I don't know.
One coming down.
Just a question I have in terms of the pricing.
From an engineering perspective, this was actually debated and discussed quite a bit at the public meeting that we had and all that. There's a lot of evaluation, a lot of discussion about what the pros and cons are about going ahead and going forward with a double chip seal versus just keeping it gravel. When and if we do the double chip seal, it would take a little bit of sweetening of the road and then the double chip seal. So I don't see a big... There's a little bit of extra cost there, but not a huge extra cost there. Because it is totally different when we do the double chip seal, different equipment and everything.
You know, we're kind of tight on things here too, and I want to make sure we do the right thing for the least amount of money. So if we're going to be trying to mobilize twice within a short period of time,
but
your answer is good. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Farrell.
Is it a recreational subdivision originally when it was built?
A recreational subdivision?
Yeah, part-time.
There is a mixture of full-time and part-time residents.
Throughout all of Manila and
yeah,
the whole area.
Yeah.
This area was southwest of southeast of town.
That's correct.
A recreational subdivision originally.
How many full-time residents are there? Is it half and half or more than that?
So there's approximately... less than half of the residents are full time. It's a majority part time, which to the point that was mentioned is consistent with the county.
Are these roads plowed during the winter time?
They are plowed during the winter time. Yes.
Does the county plow them, or does the
no
homeowners
no the
association do?
The special service district handles the plowing of the roads to keep them open as necessary.
Question.
Yes, Commissioner Lytle.
Question and comment. I think
they got pretty good scrutiny at the UBAG and had a lot of questions, and I think what you've come with is you've used some wisdom. The one question I have in a little more detail maybe is where the two roads come together and meet it at, on the, are you looking at trying to combine or work that out so that it's one exit and entrance from the...
We are, Commissioner. The roads that Commissioner Lytle is referring to are Rainbow Way and Captain's Cove. They both are approaches that come directly off the highway, the state highway, and they're very close together. We are working towards combining those two roads with that.
With you,
correct.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you.
I'll comment on that. One reason we want to really improve that is so the school buses have a safe access for the kids, because that's kind of a blind corner right there. They come traffic. It's quite a hazard that, you know, the kids are trying to get on that bus daily, and we got to do something to make that right. So.
And I also want to make a comment. Thank you for being here on time from Manila. That's very nice.
That's a challenge. I have maybe more of an educational question for me. How many service areas are there, and how is this kind of structured in Daggett County? You're only servicing 2.5 miles. This is a
unique service area. I believe that we're the only service area of its kind in the county.
Okay.
And then there is the Flaming Gorge Road and Transportation Special Service District.
Okay.
Other than that, that's all.
And historically, this may have come about before the...
It would have been an RDA back in that time had they come up with that terminology. So
okay.
It's kind of the same thing.
Right. Unique structure. So, yes, Councilman Farrell.
How is the service area funded? Are you a taxing authority?
That is correct.
So you have a tax rate?
Correct.
Does it cover just this area, or does it cover the entire county?
Just this area, just these 2.5 miles of road.
Okay. Commissioner Ogden?
I just had one question going down through some of the notes here. It's talking about the Flaming Gorge Transportation Special Service District. Are they participating in helping this, or is this you guys kind of on your own, or how does this work?
They've expressed an interest in helping us. They don't meet until... the 21st, I believe, of this month. We're on the agenda to have that discussion continue with them. They're interested in participating if possible.
They've actually supplied the gravel.
Okay.
So that's where the cost of the gravel came from, was there.
So that gravel that come from your special service district come from theirs?
Yeah, they actually funded that, the crushing. They had a gravel crushing project up there where they were crushing the gravel for the county in Manila, and then they also crushed this. So that's how we were able to come up with the matching in kind for the gravel with the special service district.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Adams?
Tell us a little bit about the engineering costs or special engineering concerns here. That
there are some, and we've built that in there. There are some, as we widen this road, there may be some soft spots. In the past, they've had to go in there and do some extra reinforcing. So as we do this, drainage is going to be an issue that we're going to have to look at closely.
You don't have cultural resources or things like that?
No. No, it's all pretty straightforward as far as that goes.
Okay. Seeing no further discussion, we do have the motion on the table, which is to approve $227,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion passes unanimously. We'll see you at the February funding meeting.
Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, item number 10. Wayne County, we'd invite you up to the table, and we'll turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Number 10 on the agenda today is from Wayne County. It's for airport improvements for Wayne Wonderland Airport Runway Reconstruction. The request is for $90,000 in grant. This is a larger project than that. They're only asking that from the CIB. They do have $27,125 in cash. They have an FAA grant for $2,265,750 and the Division of Aeronautics grant for $117,125. So the project total is $2,005,000. It will consist of airport runway improvements to include a geotechnical evaluation of existing soils on the 5,700 by 75 runway to facilitate a full reconstruction. It would include pavement, removal, excavation, 12-inch sub-base course, crushed aggregate base course, bituminous prime coat, 2.5-inch hot mix asphalt, paint striping, and pipe culverts for drainage. The airport is used for local and itinerant aircraft for emergency service, pleasure, business, and recreation. It is used by state and federal agencies. It is used by Life Flight and by aircraft fighting fires within the region. The total annual operations, landings and takeoffs at the airport is estimated to be approximately 2,700. In 2015, the last portion of the apron and taxiway were reconstructed, in which Wayne County self-funded this, their match of $55,000. The match was other funds that came in. The runway reconstruction is scheduled for 2020, this one, and the county has not been able to allocate or save the required match dollars, so CIB is helping with their match dollars. The environmental assessment would need to be done before extending the runway. This is from their minutes. Has the environmental assessment been done, and what was the cost for that? And is this ready to go full reconstruction, or when will it be? And that's the project.
Okay, got our applicants with us. You want to introduce yourselves?
My name is Newell Harward. I'm Wayne County Commissioner, and this is Darren Robinson with Jones and Mill Engineering. So we appreciate having the opportunity to make application. If I seem a little bit emotional, I just received a text that I had a 35-year-old niece die of cancer. So I don't want that to be part of the feeling here, but I just received that text 3 minutes ago. This has been a long planning stage. I've been a commissioner for 6 years, and every year I've met with the FAA in St. George, and so it's a process that's taken a long time, and we've done the other projects kind of in a pattern of fencing the outside and doing the aprons at the end of the south end of the runway, but the runway itself's in somewhat bad repair. I want to tell you just a brief story. I know that we're coming to the end, and being a W County, maybe that's why you put us at the end, I don't know, and it doesn't matter. But about 25 years ago, I'm not sure when the runway was first surfaced. I've been a pilot there, not anymore because I can't judge distance so well, but about 25 years ago, the DWR had a Piper Cub on Parker Mountain and was shooting coyotes, and the Piper Cub, the elevator on the Piper Cub broke. It was a new plane, and they crashed on Parker Mountain and walked away from the plane. But coming across Nevada, there was an Air Force C-130 with some military brass and loaded with 80,000 pounds of fuel, and they picked up the emergency locating transmitter clear in Nevada, and they tracked it all the way till they found that airplane on Parker Mountain, circled with this large airplane that was on its way to Florida, and saw that we had a small airport, and they dropped two paratroopers onto the site, thinking that maybe they could jump down and help that airplane. So they landed on our runway, and with the weight of that airplane, it put some deep divots all the way down the runway, and they even came and tried to turn around and went off and sunk in the soft soil on one end of the runway, and we had to pull it out with a large tractor and put some metal plates down. My point is the runway's been somewhat damaged ever since, and we appreciated what they did, landing under the circumstance that it was, but it hasn't been totally repaired ever since then. That was about 25 years ago. And so it is in very much need of being repaired, and like everybody else has already said before us, is nobody has any money, and we truly don't have any extra money to more than what this is. We have a small loan with you now on our travel council building that we're paying on, and but our resources for income in Wayne County is really small. We have only 3% public land, and out of that 3%, 75% of that is greenbelt. And so our resources are, so we appreciate CIB and the counties that contribute to it. We have no oil wells. We have no coal. We're trying to tap a little bit from Sevier County over there and dig a hole through and put some oil, but we don't have any. So, you know, we could spend a lot of time and tell you more about it, but with that, do you have any questions for us?
For the board for questions, Mr. Zanotti.
I'm personally aware of this, their circumstances. I have been briefed by the State Aeronautical Division, the situation with the runway. Also, I'm aware of the FAA grant that they have been awarded, and they have the local cash to support their decision. So I will say that we will accept the motion, their request, as presented, Mr. Chairman.
Second it.
I'll second.
Okay. I think we got, was that Commissioner Ogden over here that seconded it? Okay. So the motion on the table is to approve a $90,000 grant. That was seconded, but that was made by Mr. Zanotti and seconded by Commissioner Ogden.
I also would like to express our condolences, Commissioner, for the loss.
Thank you, and I hope I didn't want that to interfere, no. But I just wanted, if I got emotional here, that would be the reason.
Thank you. Sure.
Commissioner Ogden.
I just want to make one comment here. I got to commend Wayne County for, you know, not having a lot of resources over there and being able to still come up with $27,000. Yeah. So they do have some skin in the game, and I got to commend them for that.
Yep. Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, I feel the same way, you know. It's been a while since I talked about the logistics of where people live in Utah, but Wayne County does touch San Juan County. There's a river just across that divides us. And so, you know, they're a pretty special place if they touch San Juan County, in my opinion. So I could go on a little bit.
No need. But
is there a song involved?
Mr. Farrell asked me not to say anything further, but I'm in full support of the project.
Seeing no further discussion on this, the question before us is to approve a $90,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. That will be on the priority list for the February funding meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've got no supplementals. We already took care of our special consideration item. We have a couple items here under the board member discussion, and then we do have lunch planned for the board, you know, probably not at noon. Okay, so let's go to our first item here on the board member discussion, and this has to do with the our prior meeting as part of the motion to approve a grant for the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. There was a desire for them to directly respond to the questions that Zions had provided the board, either in direct answers or telling us when they would have answers to those questions as part of their review process. So I believe you have all received the response submitted by the coalition. They're not present here today. I know they're back in Washington meeting with some folks on this particular project, but we can have a discussion. We have Zions here to have a further discussion on it. If we have questions directly for the coalition, we'll either reserve those and submit them to them and have them discussed at a subsequent board meeting, but it is open for the board to ask any question in relation to those responses.
Can we ask Alice to just kind of brief update, because I wasn't here last month, so I don't know exactly what went wrong, because I know there
sure.
were 3.5 hours you were here, but I just want to know a little bit. Alex, would you please?
7-hour meeting, as I recall.
It was a long meeting, yeah, for sure. Yeah, do you want to give like a brief summary of, and maybe you've seen the responses, kind of give an update of where we're at in that process?
Sure. Thank you. Alex Buxton, Zions Bank Public Finance. So as part of the funding award that was made at the last CIB meeting, the initial $6.5 million, part of that was dependent upon a response back from the memo that the chairman had just mentioned. We did receive a memo back from the SCIC responding to those questions. I have reviewed it. I'd like to also have some time to review it with our subcontractor, CRS Engineering, who's been very helpful on the more technical railroad side of things. But in my initial review, I did feel like the that most of the questions were answered. That I felt like they were fair answers to questions, several of which cannot be answered until further studies and further progress is made in this process, and that was noted in their responses that some of these questions can't be answered immediately. I think my biggest question and or concern was regarding the involvement of the Surface Transportation Board and where they are currently at with that board. It's been a month now since the funding was awarded, and so if they were present, that's the question that I would be asking is the STB on board, because the timing of this environmental and everything that needs to get done, which they're hoping will be done in a 2-year span, is largely dependent upon the STB's involvement, and if they're the governing board on this particular project. Certainly if the BLM or somebody else was the overseeing this, it would take much longer. And they point out in their responses that they're in contact with them. And so I would just like to know if they're officially the governing board of this project. That would be my first question. But like I said, I felt like most questions were answered fairly. I didn't see anything that stood out to me as inaccurate or smokescreen or anything of that nature. So, but I would like to also have CRS have some time to go through some of the technical rail questions. Treasurer Damshin had mentioned that perhaps I could put together a write-up, which I'm happy to do. I don't have that available today, but I'm certainly happy to put something together in writing and submit that to CIB and staff, probably next week. I think I could get that done. So,
do you have a knowledge of the CRS received the questions and answers like you have?
Yes, I have forwarded that on to CRS.
Have they responded for any?
I had a brief call with them this morning on my drive in, and they echoed my same thought that they didn't feel like there was anything alarming about the questions in their initial review, or the responses, I should say, that they felt like the responses were given fairly, and at this point, nothing stood out as something to be concerned about with their responses.
So what is the timeline for STB response? So how are they going to be responding to you, to CRS? What?
I have not been in contact with STB, but according to the responses of the memo, SCIC has been. And again, that would be my question to them, is where are you at? with this group, because they, you know, the thought is that STB is going to be able to get this completed with the environmental review and other items. I think the first page of the review, it says it's possible to obtain regulatory approval by December 1st, 2020, depending on a variety of factors. So I highlighted that as a question. What are the variety of factors that the STB is telling them that might slow down the process? So.
And just I'll add a couple things. I know that they are actually meeting with STB today. I think that was on their meeting itinerary, and I did want to inform the board that we've connected SCIC with the governor's federal liaison, Gordon Larson, who is he's not there this week to go to meetings with them, but he'd be happy to help facilitate meetings and kind of keep an eye on things at the federal level once it kind of gets down the road. So I think that's a good asset that can be added into the mix here. But, yeah, I know they were meeting with them. I think we'll have further information after they get back and have these meetings, and that's what we can probably, if we want them to come and answer that question formally at a board meeting, it'd be at the next one, but we can probably get some written information on how the meetings went or some basic information about what they think the process is going to be moving forward.
So your $6.5 million approval was based condition on the STB response and CRS response?
I don't recall it being directly conditioned. We just asked that we get responses by the next board meeting. It wasn't conditional on the award. We have a draft contract that we've put before Seven County Infrastructure Coalition as of yesterday, and they have a board meeting tomorrow. So we think we have the contract elements in place that need to be there. We don't feel like the response from STB is necessary, but this is a piece of information we want to know going forward. Is this, we're kind of in the phase one. These are the kind of things you want to understand for, you know, these decision points during phase one as they've kind of outlined the deliverables, when they're going to happen. A lot of this will kind of be moving in conjunction, and we want to kind of know when those stop and start points are, and that's, well, when we get more answers to these questions, we'll have a better clarity on how we're proceeding forward.
Thank you. Thank you.
Commissioner Lytle?
In response also to Mr. Zanetti, because the conditions in terms of not approving the whole amount and the phasing of it, it's an appropriate question from my mind in terms of the STB. And that involvement, it's a progressive effort, I guess you'd say, in terms of the that would be one milestone that's obviously been identified, that if that timing is working as expected, and then if it doesn't, then I think that's an appropriate time to come back and say what's happening, or why is, if that's happening, does it change how the phase is being applied. And then you took the words out of my mouth, the chairman. The meeting tomorrow, I hopefully will have good updates in terms of how their meetings in Washington went. So there's nobody dragging their feet.
Yeah. Greg.
So, you know, you mentioned the contract. As far as the milestones, it seems like we were a little vague on what we were passing, but we fully funded it already. We funded the $6.5 million.
If I could, Mr. Chair.
Hold on. Just finish your thought process
okay.
here, and then I'll
so,
give the treasurer some time.
Are we going to be able to review that as far as the contract's concerned, as far as the milestones and things that
we're happy to send that out. I can tell you it's very detailed. We got a very detailed scope of work and deliverables and how it would be measured. So we're happy to send that out. It's not normally a thing that we would typically bring back, but we're happy to send that out so people are aware what the contract looks like. we'll send it out, and what was submitted by Seven County, which we thought it was very detailed. I mean, so detailed that we probably need to pare it down to fit it into a contract, but it's good to have that level of detail so we know exactly what's happening, what the deliverable is, what the timeline is. Those types of things are mentioned in the contract.
There was a point in conversation at that last meeting when the engineer came and spoke to that, and I thought it was a pretty detailed, robust discussion or explanation that he provided at that meeting. So that's what I'm remembering anyway, Greg, is that that was one of the things that kind of gave me a little bit of comfort.
And then I guess I have one other question, sorry, real quick. Is that so there's still additional funding, like there is still $500,000 that hadn't been spent. Is that correct on the... So that's, I guess that's somewhat a separate item as far as the funding of SCIC.
Yes, they have an administrative contract that they're still working off of, and then we made an approval onto the priority list for additional funding that will be addressed in the February funding meeting.
Okay, so that will just continue.
Yes. Mr. Zanotti.
So what is exactly $6.5 million paying for? What is the...
Well, we'll send the contract out. It is kind of detailed, different types of studies, how it's broken out. I don't know if we want to do it. Okay, let's do a quick – we'll have Candace pull this up.
It was the starting of the NEPA process and getting to the point of answering those questions.
So detailed the computer can't
– It can't handle it. Candace maybe can mention it here.
The cloud can
depends
even
on who's hooked to the screen.
The key points that they're going to come up with, phase one consists of completion of conceptual engineering, environmental baseline, and operating plan. SCIC will deliver to the grantor all reports, plans, and other documents developed as a result of this planning study. The scope of work, which is to be accomplished with $6,500,000, includes conceptual engineering services, and it's a whole detailed amount what that this task will complete enough conceptual engineering to give the coalition. Do you want me to continue reading? You want to look at the...
That's kind of small. Maybe you should read it a little bit.
So they had it broken out into tranches of money, but really that is not, the whole of this description will be completed with the $6,500,000. So conceptual engineering services will include design standard selection, operating basis of design, alternative analysis and preferred route selection, and preliminary engineering evaluation. So this will complete enough conceptual engineering to give the coalition the ability to select the preferred route, which is one of the things that the board wanted to. And the alternatives, they'll provide it to the USDOT Surface Transportation Board, which they're meeting with them now, but that will be part of this in the NEPA process. $700,000 was indicated for baseline environmental services to include desktop analysis of environmental resources using GIS, meetings with managing agencies, local knowledge, and any other available resources. Services required to prepare a draft purpose and needs statement. Field surveys required to give the STV enough information to proceed with the NEPA process. Coordination with STV, other agencies, and partners. $1,200 for mapping services for up to 307 miles of rail corridor. Now that may or may not be they might have the trajectory different, but that's up to $1,200,000. $1,200. That's they're getting the elementary school to do it. $300,000 for preliminary operating and maintenance planning services, including preliminary operating and maintenance criteria for environmental permitting and clearances. Conceptual operating plan outline, conceptual maintenance plan outline, operating and maintenance cost estimates. Development of main track capacity and train dynamic simulations. $200,000 for rights-of-way planning services, including analysis of land ownership types, development of GIS shape files required to prepare a conceptual right-of-way acquisition plan. $300,000 for strategic communication services, including tasks will involve develop required to develop a strategic communications plan for the project, begin interactions with the public, agencies, stakeholders, and other entities, and compile a project website. $500,000 for STB regulatory legal services, including preparation of the STB application, planning for the NEPA process, interaction with the STB and other agencies, funding procurement planning, strategic guidance for the project. $200,000 for freight and commercial analysis. So, in other words, project financing, that will be that, including updated commercial feasibility analysis based on updated cost information gathered by this scope, discussions with potential shippers, funding opportunity planning for the project. $500,000 for program management services, including technical support for the project consultants, data gathering and distribution, technical coordination, STB and agency coordination, procurement of services, communication and management. $100,000 for administrative expenses for coalition staff, including travel, meeting accommodations, and administrative assistance necessary to manage the project. Expenses for consultants will be covered in the other categories. $600,000 for contingency to provide funding for unanticipated and expanded services based on project dynamics within the scope of work. The Seven County Infrastructure Coalition will present deliverables at the June 2019 CIB meeting.
This is a summary version of the very detailed version that we got.
It was
about
six pages.
But happy to review any questions on that. Yes, Commissioner Adams.
Couple of things. As I remember back, we did have another entity from Texas that showed up to the meeting and indicated that they were going to build another route over Indian Canyon. And we're not really worried about environmental concerns or anything. That part of the presentation was bothersome to me. It didn't sound legitimate, I guess, is what I'm saying. What brought that individual to our meeting? Did anybody know anything about that company?
So one of the things as part of the due diligence review, and I don't want to get too much into it because I don't think that really impacted the approval of this project or how we view this project moving forward. But one of the things we asked initially of Seven County Infrastructure Coalition when they were doing their due diligence review, which was done in large part by the study they submitted, was identifying different alternatives to the rail concept that would get production out of the Uinta Basin. And so they listed a number of different types of options, the trucking down to Wellington. There were some different options that were explored there. This was another option that came to our attention that we wanted to just bring to the table. And again, it doesn't mean it's wholly verified or anything like that. I don't think that was represented from our perspective, but we wanted to just make sure that we knew other things that may exist that could do production as well.
There just wasn't any scrutiny in the detail that we did of SCIC, and I just wondered where that individual came from and really why we even had him come to the meeting. It was a little confusing and frankly a little bit ingenuous to me that he would come with very little detail, yet we scrutinized everything that SCIC did and didn't ask him to provide any detail on what he was talking about.
Treasurer Dampson.
I invited him to come. He was introduced to me by Don Foote, a member of the CITLA board, highly credible individual. Most importantly, it's an open public meeting. Also, Seven County Infrastructure Coalition is wholly funded by this board. That gentleman's from the private sector. We have no basis to scrutinize anything that he's doing. We're not funding his company. His company has operations there. They have terminals in the Gulf Coast, things that the coalition is speaking aspirationally of trying to do, connections that they want to make. And this is a company that's doing many of these things. The concerns and credibility about their ability to run this rail line through that area, I don't know anything about the environmental issues, and many of the members on this board know a lot more than I do. I don't know where they're coming from on that. But one thing that he's pointed out that's very true, there is no shortage of private capital out there if you have a project that should be done, that's doable. And so anytime you get government involved in something that can be viewed as competition for the private sector, we should be having conversations. That gentleman, I asked him about his interactions with the coalition. He told me that he had met with them at one point. I said, what was the perspective? How did they receive your discussion, your ideas? And he felt viewed as competition by the coalition that we fund with taxpayer dollars. That's concerning. So I don't know that he knows enough to say that he can build a rail project through that area. He has significant credibility in other aspects. And I think we're loathed to accept there's a lot of speculative marketing pitch, as I've pointed out many times before in what we hear from the coalition, glossy photos and ideas and so forth, but their ability to deliver on this significant, this or any of the other projects that we've looked at, still in question. Reasonably. And so I think we should hear from other perspectives. I understand there were problems with some of what he said about that rail project, but I'd like to hear from those people, especially if they feel they're viewed by the coalition wholly funded by this board. If someone in the private sector feels they're viewed as competition by a government entity, as a conservative, that's very concerning to me.
I've just always looked at the Uinta Basin, and Brad, I think you said this morning you got 2,800 wells producing oil. Oil and gas.
Just in that area that we're trying to
Just in that one area. I have no objection to the private sector coming in. I'm a little bit miffed that the private sector hasn't been in there before with that kind of product being produced, and I know the state from the state standpoint, they're anxious to get a lot of those trucks off the road and get that product moved some other way, either by pipeline or rail. It doesn't matter really to me. I just think there's such a great need to move that product out of the basin somehow. And we
have heard credible indications that we will not get trucks off the road even if the rail is built.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of what we've received. And I don't know, Steve, what your view is, but we have – Allison can speak to that.
That is part of the – one of the responses from the coalition directly to one of these questions does address that. And the Salt Lake market will likely continue to be a market, and the – least expensive option, even if a rail gets built, is to truck the product to the Salt Lake market. Right. So that's still going to be the case. What we're really talking about with the rail project is an increase in volume to access other markets. But that doesn't mean that all of a sudden we don't have those trucks in some way, shape, or form getting to the Salt Lake markets. Because I think in all the analysis, even the one submitted by RL Banks, they identified that the truck option to Salt Lake was still going to be the cheapest option no matter what rail route kind of got identified.
That's on page 10 of the SCIC's answers to Zion's questions. Under item number 5, about mid-paragraph, it says the RL Bank study assumes that Utah oil producers will continue to supply 80,000 barrels per day to the Salt Lake refineries.
Did Did everybody get a copy of that?
Yeah, it's in your board
docs. It's in the board docs on the last one, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's tons of materials floating around this stuff, so I get that, you know, it's good to clarify these details if you need clarification. Yes, Commissioner Lytle.
And I think one of the things that, and thank you for the comments, those are understood. I think the one thing is that we're seeing with that conversation is that the likelihood of increasing that volume to Salt Lake doesn't necessarily exist.
Right, correct.
And depending on the market and being able to capitalize on the market as it comes back up, in whatever form it will do, that is a significant motivator in looking at these alternatives.
Correct. Yes, Commissioner Winterton.
Just like to address a little bit our state treasurer. I concur with him that we need to have the private sector involved. And I know of four other private sectors that are looking at helping with this problem. But every one of them comes back to the use of public facilities as of today. Now, the individual that spoke about doing this railroad didn't even have the decency to even look at the rail that we spent millions of dollars on with UDOT and UNN Duchesne County in putting that over Indian Canyon. His credibility on that alone speaks volumes that he knows very little about public lands and the problems that exist there. But I will give him credit. He knows his business as far as distribution. Now, come January 1st, he has a contract to deliver 60,000 barrels to the coast. How is he doing that? He's going to put trucks over 191 down there to the rail. Who is going to be footing the bill for that infrastructure? Mr. Sonati needs to have a lot of backup here because we're going to now put 60 trucks a day on 191 to supply this private sector. What recourse do we have on them? We need to make sure that we're doing our business, which we are, but we have to be very careful. We have a supply to infrastructure for all kinds of public ventures. And so I think that we explore all possibilities, but make sure that we're not scrutinizing the wrong people that are bringing money to this board. 60,000 barrels, that's almost doubling what the production is coming to Salt Lake right now. That means that they're going to be turning on the tap to the federal lands, to the wells that have basically been pumping one day a month. So, you know, this board stands to really benefit from any additional production. He talks big. He's talking about going to 300,000 barrels. I can tell you our infrastructure won't take 300,000 barrels down that highway. So together we have to jointly figure this out and support anybody that wants to help us. So I'm very supportive because the basin has more reserves than the Far East. And we're just on the tip of the iceberg of it. Do we want that? Are we ready for it? It's got to be kind of measured in a growth that we can handle. Where is that? I think the train or the rail is only one solution to that. And you're right. You'll never get all the trucks off the road coming to the Salt Lake Valley. But their refinery capacity of what they can take from the basin has already been realized. Mm-hmm. And so how do we address that? I mean, UDOT still has the problem in Heber City and that. This will not never take those trucks off from that route. Right. So.
Any other questions for Alex or staff? And again, we can have the coalition come back and address some of these questions if we feel they're outstanding. And again, a lot of these we're going to kind of get updated as we go because there's just different milestones along the way. Commissioner Ogden.
On this response, Alex, is the Seven County going to finish and complete answering a lot of these questions? Are we going to get another paper regarding what you've questioned here from the coalition? I mean, you've mentioned things in here, but I go down through here, and I'm, it talks about the Uinta Bay. Who is the Uinta, yeah, the Uinta Rail? I'd like to know who that is. Obviously, we still don't know if they're going to go to Craig, but I guess they're going to decide that in this study. So we are going to try to get some of these questions answered, because there's still a lot of things in here that I'm, you know, and I'm not wanting to, you know, see the project fail by any means, but, you know, the way they went with this first money that they had, we need to be really kind of seeing what they're doing with this next part of this money. You know, where do we draw the line? Suppose they can't get the environmental thing through, or suppose something happens in Colorado. I mean, where do we... Is this first phase going to give us those answers? That's, I guess, the question.
It probably not. We'll get to the, is the environmental approved? But there are certain... I think the timeline is, again, outlined in the contract. We're going to get deliverables by June 2019, and that was the anticipation that they'd be back before the board discussing the progress on phase one and what, and then we would be looking at the board how we move forward with another phase on this project. So we'll get to, you know, I think one of the questions we're going to really get to is, you know, how comfortable are we with, are we going to get environmental approval in that time frame? That, we're going to have a lot better answer about that through this process for what they're going to deliver by June before we make that next decision on a further investment, if it's warranted. So,
and I would just add that I would recommend that as I do my review and put a memo together along with some help with CRS, if any CIB members have specific questions that they'd like to include, certainly that's something that we can put together in one memo and give it back to the SCIC and let them respond to those. So, but I agree, I think it's kind of an ongoing process here.
But I'd rather answer the questions along the way in your mind rather than, you know, have these questions linger for 6 months until we have another meeting. I mean...
And I think they will.
Yeah.
I mean, just with that... with that kind of work, if I may.
Sure.
I think STB, we should have some indications tomorrow, and that'll be public, and I assume public record. Or if there's a reason for it to be closed, I don't know what it is at this moment. But I believe there's reasons that some of these have to be couched. Because we don't, there are things that are kind of a moving target. We certainly know what they're shooting for, we are shooting for in terms of the timing, and a certain amount of exigency within a world that we don't have every control over. So I think one is thank you for, however, with the governor's office and the federal liaison. I didn't commit his name to memory, but.
Gordon Larson.
Gordon, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think as long as we're communicating those things, that nothing's being done in a cloud, hopefully those are answers that would be met. And reviewing their answers that were provided and the questions that are there, I think they did a pretty diligent effort to meet those needs. And, of course, I may be biased in that effort, but the diligence is... I don't think there's anybody questioning the diligence in terms of trying to respond. Raising the question doesn't mean there's always going to be a quick answer.
Sure.
And so I appreciate your support on the way that's working.
I mean, it is possible we can just get an update every month in written form if we feel like there is one. Sometimes there won't be a lot changed. I mean, I think this is the substantial answer, but... we'll get these small updates once in a while along the way, and we can just provide written information to the board if that's something you want to do. And we could always have just a standing item of discussion if we want to get into more of it. But, I mean, the projects, phase one is approved as it is, and we expect to get those deliverables. So I don't want to have to, like, reopen the project necessarily, but... to keep information flowing, if that's important, then let's we can probably do something like that. I'm looking at Alex to shake his head. Yes, that's possible. Yeah. Keith?
Well, I, for one, am waiting for lunch, so I'd rather have a meaningful conversation than just sit here. So I do appreciate the conversation. I appreciate each of you for bringing perspective to it. On behalf of the Community Development Office, John has agreed to meet with Mike McKee of the Infrastructure Coalition on a monthly basis, so they'll have a standing monthly meeting. We are going through these questions as well as additional questions that are in the minutes that have not been answered, and we'll do our best to track those, both the questions themselves and the responses, and to share that with you as appropriate. Again, there's always a fine line of enough information but not too much, and so, you know, we don't want to inundate you with minutia, but we want to have the pertinent questions answered. And there are a lot of those, and this is a moving entity that things are happening every day. As was mentioned, right now the Infrastructure Coalition is in Washington, D.C., meeting with the Surface Transportation Board and others to really get these things moving. Their intent, as you see in the documentation provided, is to have a route designated by the end of next month, which is a very short window, but that's what they've committed to do. You know, getting the NEPA process moving forward. They did interviews just last week in which our office participated in those. So we're trying really hard to work closely with them to make sure that there's accountability and that we're all on the same page moving forward. As you all know, this is just one small step in what will be many steps, and how that manifests itself, you know, time will tell. But I think this board is trying to be judicious and responsible in saying, how much money do we actually need to move to the next step, and then let's evaluate and move forward. I think that's absolutely the right approach. We've got a lot of experts, including Alex and his team, looking at these things and making evaluations. And so I feel like we're in a good place, that the board is making the right decisions to try and move this forward. You know, we're trying to involve the private sector where it makes sense, and to the extent that that can help shed light and help us make informed decisions, I think that's very valuable. It's never been the role of government to, you know, interfere with the private sector and impede them from doing the good work they do, but to facilitate the good work they do. You know, and this will be a railroad that would hopefully be open to any producer in the basin is looking to get product, you know, out of the state or out of the Salt Lake market. So, you know, there's a lot of up potential with this. You know, we're talking, you know, billions of dollars. And so, you know, while we're spending millions, that's a lot of money for us. You look at the communities that came before us today, you know, Wallsburg or Wells. You know, these are little tiny communities. their budget, you know, $50,000, $60,000 for an annual budget. You know, we're asking them to take an extra $1,000 a year payment. You know, that's what, 10-20% of their budget. You know, and on the other hand, we're talking millions of dollars on this type of thing. Which, again, if we're not successful with this, what will happen in the future of these small towns that depend on CIB? And that's all of them. So, you know, it's a fine balancing act that this board is taking on. And I'm just going to keep talking until lunch comes. So brace yourselves. Anyway, I do appreciate the judiciousness that the board has taken with this and the amount of time. You know, it's my full-time job, and I have a hard time reading all of the material that's coming through on this. So I can only imagine as busy as each of you are. So I appreciate the effort and commend you for it, and hope that you continue to see this through. And, you know, if we do our job right, very good things will happen for the people of Utah, and I think that's something we're all very interested in. So I'll shut up now. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Well, when you talked about use of the railroad, I don't know if is it up in Heber where they do the Polar Express. I'm hoping that for the Uinta Basin. I don't have kids anymore that would enjoy that, but and when I get into the grandkids phase, which is probably about the time a rail would be completed, that should probably be an element that gets added in out there.
We don't want the competition.
Oh, yeah. any further questions for Alex? Do you guys want the monthly report, or is that something you feel like would be a helpful thing to keep you updated? Or
yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm getting some head nods. Yes. So we'll just plan on just having this as a standing agenda item. We'll provide written materials. It could be a short, long conversation, hopefully short. We've had a lot of long conversations on this. I anticipate a long conversation in June when we get the deliverables and start talking about the next phase. But yes, so the next item on our board member discussion is a policy retreat location. So if you'll recall, we kind of had, thank you, Alex, kind of had on our schedule to go to Kane County for a couple of reasons. One, we had Commissioner Mattson on our board who was excited to host us, but he's no longer on our board. But secondarily, we had a project that we funded that was going to be, we felt was going to be completed, but it may not be completed in time. So I think we probably need to reopen the discussion of where to hold our policy retreat in June. So I'm open to any suggestions. I'm a little nervous about what the treasurer is going to say. So,
My daughter's graduating with her master's degree
that
weekend, and I'd like to invite everyone to come join me, and we can have our meeting in Corvallis, Oregon.
Corvallis.
Go over to the Oregon coast.
Sounds like it.
Go swimming.
Second on the motion.
All right. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have a hard time getting all that approved for all of you to go.
You've got 6 months.
The treasurer's recommendation.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Chairman, treasurer says yes to it.
I'm sure I can find a rounding error somewhere to pay for everyone's travel.
Any other ideas on the table?
I believe we should call the question.
Sorry. I'll throw it out.
Prior to next meeting, we'll have the list.
That would be good.
So, if I may, Mr. Chairman, the jail, Commissioner Lytle, does that have a large meeting room? I know it's got individual rooms.
Plenty of sleeping accommodations.
Yes.
I think they have Wi-Fi.
It may be sold by then.
We have Wi-Fi. We have 80 beds. We have a large room.
Bring your own sleeping.
So friendly staff.
No, we'd have to hire staff.
How's the security?
I deserve that on multiple levels.
I was curious about whether someplace like the up toward Heber, even at the
Midway.
Homestead, or even up at Daniel Summit.
Daniel Summit's beautiful. We had a retreat up there 20 years ago.
That would be my thought, short of Daggett County, Browns Park.
Homestead is fine.
There is a hosting AOG or county. Like last time we were in Richville, the hosting county was Sevier. So
it would actually be in Wasatch.
Wasatch would be under mountain lands.
But we'd be happy to host it again in Duchesne.
Yeah, we'd welcome everybody to Monticello. One more time. I don't know. Treasure Damption didn't make it down last time for my special cowboy song. We still have a deck in back of my house.
The problem with that location is the meeting room overlooks the golf course. That's a real problem for me personally, but
we can arrange golf.
Come the day.
Oh, you don't have to arrange golf. I'll find my way to golf
after
the meeting.
Free golf in Minnesota. Absolutely.
And Commissioner Adams, only 10 and a half hours drive from here to there.
Yeah. Coming this way, it's 5.5. Going that way, it's well over 10.
We'll put some. Okay, we'll put some ideas together.
I'd
but next,
saving the money till another year and do it here.
Okay.
No.
we'll have some ideas at the January meeting. We'll just kind of put. I appreciate all you volunteering your options. You've all been
very. We have
very,
too many pretty places in rural Utah.
I agree. I like to go to rural Utah, so I would rather not do it here. I'd rather do it somewhere else, and I agree with you. And thank you all for being very hospitable when we've been in your area. So we'll kind of put some options together and kind of the history of where we've been, and we'll see if we can't set up.
We could have another rerun at Sevier County if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So that option's on the table.
Yeah.
Sevier and San Pete's in the right center of the state.
Yeah, but you want a convenient
they only have gravel roads there. We want to go someplace that has some paved roads.
Only some of them are gravel.
I think the food's getting here.
Okay, we have, so that will be our action item when we meet in January. We'll kind of finalize the location on that. Anything else that needs to be brought up? If not, I'll entertain one final motion. They're pulling up with our lunch right here.
Food truck.
Motion to adjourn.
There's a motion to adjourn, non-debatable. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we are adjourned.